The following is a production of Minor League Baseball, the Lynchburg Hillcats, and Virch. Welcome into another night of Lynchburg Hillcats Baseball. We are about 20 minutes from the start of tonight's game, and it's time for us to get you set for first pitch. Coming up over the next 20 minutes, we will preview the game with the pitching matchup and the starting lineups. We'll also sit down with tonight's pregame interview. And finally, we'll look around the Carolina League and update the standings. Hillcats Baseball is on deck, but first, to preview tonight's game, here's Connor Young.
Lynchburg's playoff hopes are alive, but they're on life support after the narrow one-run Lynchburg loss they suffered last night. The Mudcats took the 1-0 series lead, taking game one on Tuesday evening, and if the pressure was on before, now Lynchburg has to be sweltering under both the Virginia August seat in the six games that separate them in the second half North Division crown with less than 2 weeks left in the season. Connor Young with you on the Lynchburg Hillcats pregame show on this sunny, beaming Wednesday evening. And we have a good show for you today. We're going to try a new segment in the back half of the pregame show, so stay tuned for that. We will take a look at some familiar faces from around here in the Hill City. But first, let's tell the tape from the matchup that took place here in the Bank of the James less than 24 hours ago. Jackson Humphreys started game one in commanding fashion. He struck out the side on just 10 pitches, setting the tone for what looked like it was going to be a pitching duel enjoyed by both starting arms. Half of the bargain would be lived up to as Daniel Corniel shoved for Carolina. He went 6 3rd innings, allowing just 3 hits in total, 1 earned run on not walking a single batter. Humphreys played to the strikeout and Corniel worked to the soft contact. Both approaches worked to some degree as Jackson Humphreys finished the day with 6 strikeouts through 3 innings and change, although he did allow 3 earned runs through the process. Lynchburg, they didn't score until the bottom of the 7th inning, and they would find themselves in a winning run at the plate situation in the 8th and 9th innings, but came up just short, losing 3-2. A lot of yesterday's contest was decided by the starting pitching on both sides. The same very well could be true in Game 2, so let's meet the starting pitching pairing scheduled for today's bout. For Lynchburg, it will be Caden Favors making his first start in a Hillcats uniform. He has made just 2 appearances previous for Lynchburg out of the bullpen. He was primarily a starter in college at Wichita State, and Favors was a pretty high draft pick by the Guardians in this past MLB draft. He was taken in the 6th round by Cleveland just a couple months ago. Tyson Harden is also new to the Carolina League, even newer than Favors. This will be Harden's first appearance at the professional level. He is coming right off his junior season at Mississippi State, where he ended the year with a 3-3 record and a 3.22 ERA against SEC competition, which is as tough as it gets at the collegiate level. Brewers fans and Mudcat heads alike will be keeping a close eye on Harden's first start on this scorcher of a hump day. Let's set the stage around the Carolina League. Our 6:30 p.m. start time, along with the Freddies in Kannapolis, will be the earliest first pitch set around the league. That Fredericksburg series, in a lot of ways, will determine the fate of the Hillcats, regardless if the rest of the series back here at home goes Lynchburg's way or not against Carolina. But regardless, let's go down the line here in the Carolina League out-of-town scoreboard. Down east in Myrtle Beach, 7:05 p.m. Eastern start at Pelicans Ballpark. They played a doubleheader yesterday, down east taking both of those games at Pelicans Ballpark on Tuesday. Salem and Delmarva, it'll be Luis Cohen versus Correa, the pitching duel. Columbia and Augusta, 7:05 p.m. Eastern start as well from SRP Park, while Fayetteville will square off on the road against Charleston, the River Dogs taking game one of that series. Let's go over the standings. Here in the second half, Fredericksburg with a 34-21 record, good for the first place spot in the North Division. Carolina at 31-23, 2.5 games out from the first place crown, although they already have locked up a playoff spot due to them winning the first half in the North. Salem in third place, down east in fourth. Lynchburg in fifth at 27-26, 1 game above 500 in the second half, and 6 games out of first place. Delmarva in the basement at 25-30. In the South, Charleston has 3.5 games of cushion over Columbia. Myrtle Beach in third place on the hunt at 6 games out. Fayetteville in fourth place with Kannapolis in fifth place. Augusta 16-37, the worst record in the Carolina League as far as the second half is concerned. Now let's meet the starting lineups for both clubs, starting with your Lynchburg Hillcats. Tommy Hawk will lead off once again, with Welby and Francisca batting behind him for the second straight day. Luis Marejo will again bat third as well. However, a change comes in when you look at yesterday's starting lineup compared to this evening, as Christian Napchik will be inserted into the lineup, into the cleanup spot. Garrett Howe batted there last night. He'll bat fifth and play second today. He took an 0-for-4 on Tuesday. Ryan Cesarini was able to pick up a base hit one game ago, moving his hit streak up to 5 straight games. He'll bat sixth. Barrett Reebok, seventh. Bennett Thompson, eighth. And Luis Durango, ninth. That is what Jordan Smith is going with, while the Mudcats will shape up pretty similarly to what we saw last night. Only one player is in the lineup today who wasn't a part of the nine for Carolina last night. Yoferi Rodriguez will lead off and play center field. Juan Baez will bat second and play third. Eric Batanti will bat third. He took an 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts. 6 strikeouts over his last 10 at-bats for Batanti. Marco Dingis will bat fourth in DH. Filippo Dottori will play shortstop rather than second. He took an 0-for-3 with a strikeout. He'll bat fifth. Luis Castillo, sixth. Daniel Gilarte will bat seventh and plays second. Yoswar Garcia, he'll play left. And Blaber Diaz will do the catching. He is the only new face in the lineup this evening. When we come back on the Lynchburg Hillcats pregame show, we're going to have a brand new first ever segment on the show for you. It's called Keeping Up with the Cats. And we're going to be tracking down a lot of our old friends from right here in the Hill City and just check in on what they've been up to. You don't want to miss it. For the first time ever, Keeping Up with the Cats is next.
Celebrate the history of America's pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that shape and change the game and our country. And relive the careers of legends who have earned the greatest honor in sports. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org.
Hey, Hillcats fans. Has your big bank just closed its doors? Come on over to Bank of the James. We make banking better in just 3 easy steps. First, stop by Bank of the James to open your account. Second, bring your current checking statement so we can help you with recurring transactions. And third, enjoy banking the way it should be. Why Bank of the James? We're your strong, local bank, and we're committed to you. Putting community first for 24 years. Come on over to Bank of the James.
You've probably heard the old saying, the best things in life are free. But do you believe it? The Lynchburg Hillcats want to make sure you and your kids do. Sign your kids up for Southpaw's Free Kids Club and experience the best free activity your money can't buy. All Kids Club members receive complimentary tickets to 5 designated Kids Club games, Virginia 529 Fun Zone passes for the whole season, and exclusive autograph sessions with players. Kids 12 and under can sign up at Lynchburg-Hillcats.com to activate their Kids Club membership today.
You're listening to Hillcats Baseball on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
Keeping up with the Cats, here we go. Pretty much, I'm just going to update us on what former Hillcats have been up to, either up the line in the minor leagues or right here in the Carolina League, and that's actually exactly where I'm going to start. Alex Clemmie made his 5th start on the year with Fredericksburg against Kannapolis on the road last night. And it wasn't his best in a Fred Nat uniform. Clemmie went 4 2/3 innings, allowing 4 earned runs on 4 hits. Although, he did strike out 7 batters. There's one thing that Clemmie has for sure is elite strikeout stuff, and we saw that here full fours in Lynchburg. The start before that, Clemmie went 5 innings of scoreless ball for Fredericksburg, striking out 5 in that start, and that's probably his best work in the Nationals organization to this point. Let's move up a level. Let's go to Wake County. There are a lot of former 2024 Hillcats that make up the current Lake County lineup. On Tuesday, Wilfredo Antunez hit his first home run at the high A level. It was his 9th overall in the season, and it extended his hit streak to 10 straight games, working into double digits. That is the longest active streak in the Cleveland farm system. And during his last 10 games, which includes some of his time here in Lynchburg, Antunia has held a batting average of .432 while smashing 4 home runs and driving in 13 RBIs. Pretty impressive stuff. Antunia's captain's teammate, Ralphie Velasquez, seems to have broken out of the slump that was plaguing him during the end of his tenure in Lynchburg. He has gone 3-for-10 over his last 3 games at Lake County while hitting his first high A homer and playing far above average defense in left field of all places. It was always good to see former Hillcats doing big things. That is exactly what Ralphie Velasquez is doing with the captains. Alex Mooney was a Hillcat briefly one season ago, and he stole his 40th base of the season with Lake County last night, which puts him in rare company. Alex Mooney now joins just Greg Allen as the only captains ever to eclipse 30 extra base hits and 40 stolen bases in a season in franchise history. Greg Allen, he did that in 2015. Now Mooney has done the same in 2024. We have time for one more check-in, so let's move to the Rubber City, Akron, Ohio, where Trenton Denholm is currently a member of the Akron Rubber Ducks, and he was a part of the 2022 Lynchburg Hillcats. Solid piece in that rotation. He now finds himself in AA Akron in the Guardian system and is coming off the Eastern League Pitcher of the Week award from last week and went crazy on the bump again in his most recent start on Tuesday. His line ended up at 7 innings, 1 earned run, 1 walk, and 4 strikeouts. Columbus could be calling for the El Dorado Hills native. So there you have it. That was Keeping Up with the Cats. It's always fun to see how the careers of Hillcats that we get so invested in during their time here in Lynchburg are progressing through the minor league system. But Game 2 in the Battle of the Cats is coming up next on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network. Jason Prill and myself will be the next voices you hear after we take a quick pause and you hear these messages, so stay tuned.
The Virginia Commonwealth Games are back this summer in Lynchburg, Virginia, on the campus of Liberty University. Be a part of the tailgate party and opening ceremonies kickoff celebration. For more information, visit commonwealthgames.org.
If you're looking for a home, auto, or life insurance plan, look no further. State Farm has been offering great coverage at surprisingly low rates for over 100 years. Stop in and see one of the 4 Central Virginia insurance agents. For Lynchburg, call Chip Harvey. For Rustburg, contact Jack Dean. For Appomattox, call Sarah Saunders. And for Madison Heights, visit Kim Z. Gardner. Contact your local State Farm agents today.
The following is a production of the Lynchburg Hillcats and Minor League Baseball. A lot has changed about the Lynchburg Hillcats over the last 30 years. 4 different affiliates, 2 different color schemes and mascots, and 5 championship titles.
And Lynchburg, the 2017 Carolina League champions.
Dozens of major leaguers have come through the Hill City.
It's my pleasure to present the Ted Williams All-Star Game MVP Award to Shane Bieber of the Cleveland Indians.
As the city of Lynchburg celebrates the 30th anniversary of Hillcats baseball, it's safe to say that the best is yet to come.
The Hillcat hero!
Left field, that's going to drop.
Face it! Lynchburg does it again! The Cardiac Cats!
Way out of variant.
Comes home! Tag! Yes!
Hashtag Purdy 30.
The third runner being waved around. He will score! Bases clearing double.
A 2-out, 2-run home run to break the tie in the 8th.
Leaping, diving grab by Jose Devers.
Live from Bank of the James Stadium in Lynchburg, Virginia, here's the voice of the Hillcats, Jason Prill.
It's Halloween night here in the ballpark, and it's getting scary on the field for Lynchburg as their playoff hopes continue to get more and more challenging. But Lynchburg looked to take their first game of the series against Carolina here on this Wednesday evening after the Mudcats stole game one less than 24 hours ago. Well, let's meet the Hillcats starting lineup and how they'll shape up in the field, courtesy of our PA announcer, Steve Stillwell.
When I met you in the summer.
We'll meet the Hillcats in just a moment. But our pitching battle today will be between Tyson Harden and Caden Favors. Both of them making their first start at the Carolina League level. Both of them draftees of this last Major League draft. Favors, he's made a couple relief appearances with Lynchburg, but this will be his first start in a Hillcat uniform. Right here in the Bank of the James Stadium. Steve Stillwell, he's ready. Let's meet those Hillcats.
Field number 23, Luis Durango. In center field, number 5, Tommy Hawk. In left field, number 24, Ryan Severini. At first base, number 46, Luis Morejo. At second base, number 6, Garrett Howe. At shortstop, number 1, Welbian Francisca. At third base, number 10, Christian Napchek. Doing the catching, number 13, Bennett Thompson. The designated hitter for your Hillcats, number 12, Barrett Reebok. On the mound, making his pre-birthday start, he'll be 23 tomorrow, number 41, Caden Favors. And your Hillcats, managed by number 39, Jordan Smith. Sleeping in your bed. Fans, at this time, we ask that you kindly please rise and remove your caps as we honor America with a singing of our national anthem tonight, presented by Mr. Lenny Hutton.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight. Oh, the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Game 2 of 6, about to get underway in just a few moments. Caden Favors on the mound. He pitched his college baseball at Wichita State. The former Shocker in his senior season earned first-team all-conference and second-team all-region honors as the ace of the Wichita State pitching staff, going 9-4 with a 3.21 ERA over 17 appearances, including 16 starts. Favors has made two appearances with Lynchburg out of the bullpen, where he has looked serviceable at worst, comfortable at best. This will be the first start he has made in his short professional career. His last outing was against Salem on August 22nd. He went three innings, gave up three hits, struck out four, walked none, and gave up one earned run. He hasn't walked a single batter so far through six innings with Lynchburg, so control hasn't been an issue for the minor league rookie. The lineup for Carolina that he'll be faced with navigating today will be led off by Eufery Rodriguez, who had a 2 for 5, two RBI day with one strikeout one night ago. Juan Baez will play third base. Eric Batanti, who took an 0 for 4 with three strikeouts on Tuesday. He had an 0 for 4 with three strikeouts on Sunday. So he's gone 0 for 8 with six strikeouts in his last two games. Marco Dingis will DH and bat in the cleanup spot. Filippo De Turri will play shortstop and bat fifth. Luis Castillo sixth. Daniel Guillarte, Yosuar Garcia, and Blayberg Diaz will round out the order for the Mudcats. Lynchburg going for win number 65 on this season in total. They are 27-26 in the second half at this point, six games out of Fredericksburg in first place. Caden Favors toes the rubber for his first professional start. Tall left-hander from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. The sixth-round pick in the 2024 draft of the Cleveland Guardians. And his first pitch has Rodriguez waving. First pitch at 6:31 p.m. It is a scorcher here in the Hill City. Rodriguez on the year, that's 257. Seven home runs, 57 RBIs for an OPS of 752. He's been with Carolina for the whole entire season, and he'll sky one into right field. Routine for Luis Durango, who makes the grab for the first out of the inning.
Nice and easy play for Luis Durango, and a good start from Caden Favors. He was able to pound the zone. Rodriguez pumped it up, and we have our first out of the ball game.
Juan Baez will check in. Bat from the right-handed side. He's another player that has spent significant time with the Mudcats this year. This order, all veteran as far as Carolina League goes. Pitching staff, however, for Carolina has been a bit of a revolving door recently. That's where you see a lot of the fresh faces. The 0-1 pitch from Favors. Once again, into the right side. This in foul territory. Marejo will pursue it and drop it. Just a couple steps off the clay. That's one you want if you're Marejo.
Problem is he used two hands. He just didn't get underneath it. He was kind of stabbing at it and pushing his glove out toward it, which means he wasn't directly settled and probably could have stepped a few steps forward and made the grab, but instead, Baez catches a break.
Juan Baez, the 27th ranked prospect, just in the top 30 in the Milwaukee Key Brewers system. The 0-2 misses upstairs. A fastball gets away from Favors. Baez 5'9", 175. Good hit tool, which we've seen at the single A level this season. Leaves a little bit to be desired as far as the pop is concerned. But he makes up for it with some smooth fielding on the infield. Today he'll play third base. He's listed primarily as a third baseman or second baseman. Haven't seen him at shortstop too much this year with Carolina. The 2-2 offering is lined over the head of Francisca, and it'll be cut off in the outfield by Cesarini as Baez will pick up the first hit of the ballgame.
Well, how big does that drop by Marejo look now? You go from having a second out in the inning to having a runner on first with only one down and the heart of the order due up. And this could open up for an inning. We mentioned before the game, Connor, that Favors has been the recipient of some fluky baseball. Now he's got three runs allowed, only one of them earned. And it's those types of situations that spawn out of plays like that for Marejo, where now a base hit could move the runner all the way down to third base, and you're just a little bit away from scoring.
With the speed that Baez possesses and the power that Betanti brings to the dish, certainly a scary proposition. He'll wave at a fastball in the inside half. First strike one, 1-1 count to the slugging first baseman. Betanti, six homers on the season, but six strikeouts through just his last two games. As 1-2-3 in the order for Carolina, all within the top 30 prospect list, according to MLB.com, for the Milwaukee Brewers organization. And then you just have to go down to the five spot to find the next top prospect in Filippo Dettori. High fly ball, right field, Durango looking back at the track, and that ball is gone. Betanti shows the two sides of the sword that we've seen from him at the single-A level already in this series. You've got the eye-popping power, which was just put on display, and then the swing and miss that can plague him at times. But often, you'll take that trade, Jason.
Yeah, if you're the Mudcats, you're definitely going to take that trade. And if you can put two runs on the board with one swing, you're going to take it 10 times out of 10. You want a guy with pop. You're willing to sacrifice, especially in today's day and age of baseball. You're willing to take a guy who will swing and miss in exchange for a bit more power, a bit higher exit velocity. Strikeouts are kind of viewed as indifferent right now. Unless it's a really bad ratio, you'll live with a guy who can put the ball deep into the ballpark.
For Betanti on the season, 32 strikeouts now to 7 home runs. So you'll take that trade off, especially when you consider Betanti is only 18 years old. It's a very young prospect. 3-0 count right away to Marco Dingis, as Caden Favors seems to be reeling after the long ball. 2-0 Carolina after the two-run shot. And it'll be a four-pitch walk to put Dinges on. First walk allowed by Favors in his Hillcat career. Both runs are earned for Favors, as Jason was alluding to. In his previous six innings out of the bullpen, he had given up three runs, only one of them being charged to Favors. So you can either look at that as he isn't getting the help behind him that he needs, or the other side of that is contact has been pretty easy to find against Caden Favors. And we're seeing that today. Filippo Dettori will step into the batter's box after Tony Arnold wraps up his convo with Caden Favors on the bump. For a pitching coach, you never want to have to make that walk out to the hill in just the first inning. Bennett Thompson behind the plate, the battery mate for Favors. Both guys, 2024 draftees. Favors from Wichita State and Thompson from Oregon. Dettori bats 205 on the year, no home runs, 14 RBIs. Dettori is making his 59th appearance with Carolina this year, so that's about half the season he's been with the Mudcats. Took an 0-for-3 with a strikeout on Tuesday. He now bats with Marco Dingis leading off first base. After a four-pitch walk from Caden Favors, the first free pass he's allowed in 2024. The 1-1 sent the other way on a line. Durango will let it bounce, and it'll get away from the right fielder, moving Dinges to third. Runners on the corners. Now for Luis Castillo, the power-hitting right fielder. More trouble brewing for Lynchburg and Caden Favors. Three base hits and one walk allowed in the first frame in just his first start at the professional level. Luis Castillo, 17 home runs, 72 RBIs. If you check the Carolina League leaderboard, you'd find that puts him third in home runs in the league and second in RBIs. And he wastes no time. Crack of the bat heard once again. Too many times for Caden Favors here in this first inning. That'll be an RBI single. 3-0 Carolina as they are hot out of the gates here in game two. Advancing to second will be Dituri as Castillo picks up another RBI. Just talked about how proficient he has been with runners in scoring position this season. That's his 73rd RBI, which trails only Brandon Pimentel of the Fredericksburg Nationals, who's at an astronomical 79 on the season. You don't see those numbers in the Carolina League very often. Beautiful pitch on the outside part of the plate. Looked like a slider from Caden Favors at 87. Everything from the lefty has been 85 to 91. We haven't seen anything too slow as far as the off-speed is considered. Double play is in order here for Lynchburg, but that's going to get away from Thompson, and just as I say it, that opportunity has been erased.
Favors really struggling, and this is where your defense really needed to help you out. We talked about it at the time, but Luis Marejo dropping that easy pop fly in foul territory, that opens up the door, gave them an extra out, and allows the opposing team to play with more confidence while at the same time taking confidence and trust away from your pitcher.
And with every loss, it's becoming more of an outside chance for Lynchburg to secure a playoff spot. But six games out, you still have the opportunity to determine your fate as far as the playoffs is concerned. And with that hanging over Lynchburg, every single play, pitch, at bat, is magnified just even more at this point in the season. Infield is in with two runners in scoring position for Daniel Guiarte, who bats .240 on the year, three home runs, 29 RBIs. He's coming off a 1-for-4 day with a strikeout on Tuesday. Three runs already across for the Mudcats. Caden Favors one pitch away from loading the bases. He already walked Marco Dinges, who's come around to score, as this will be tapped foul right in front of Bennett Thompson, the catcher. That walk to Dinges, as I mentioned, just his first walk as a member of the Hillcats through six innings and a third. Two aboard, three across, one down, and a full count to Daniel Guiarte. He thought about it. Did he go? Yes, he did. William Pascal punches out Daniel Guiarte, and Caden Favors has racked up his first strikeout of the ball game, and it couldn't have come at a better time, Jason.
That was huge. Not only does it get a second out in the inning and allow the defense to be pulled back a little bit more, it also provides an opportunity for Favors to possibly get through the entire inning and go a little bit deeper into the ball game. You want him to get to about three innings. That's what he's gone so far. He's struggling here in the first, but you'd like to see him get through it.
Yoswar Garcia, first pitch swinging, fouls it off himself. Garcia, one of the better hitters in the Carolina League you're going to find this season. .289 average, 99 hits on the year, good for third as far as the hits are concerned. Fourth as far as the average. He'll wave and miss on a pitch on the outside part of the plate. His Favors working east and west, switching up placements horizontally. We haven't seen him elevate the fastball or work to the lower parts of the zone all that much. But Garcia down in the count 0-2 as Favors looks to strand two in scoring position. make this first frame a little cleaner. It's a good pitch. He won't get the call. Behind the plate is Robert Bonet with Pascal in the field. Bonet ending the game in controversial fashion one night ago. Had a play at first. The 1-2, back-to-back strikeouts for Caden Favors as he will strand two Mudcats. But three runs will come across already. Carolina, good from the outset as they lead it 3-0. We head to the bottom half of the first.
Check out Creative Edge Design Incorporated for your signs, banners, and wrap services. We are a 3M certified graphics installation company backed by a 3M warranty, protecting your graphics against any cracking, fading, or peeling for over 10 years. Your graphics will continue to look exactly like they did on the day they were installed. Visit us at cedi.biz for more information. Creative Edge Designs, custom designs for you.
Are you a fan of fireworks or collecting sports memorabilia? Or maybe instead of the bar, you want to spend your nights at the ballpark. Whatever your passion, the Lynchburg Hillcats have a mini plan package for you. Make sure to secure your tickets for every Thirsty Thursday, Freebie Friday, or fireworks show Saturday with one of our dated mini plans. Craving more baseball? Sign up for our 30-game mini plan. Not sure what games you want to go to? The Hillcats offer undated mini plans as well. For more information and to purchase your 2024 mini plan, visit Lynchburg-Hillcats.com.
You're listening to the 30th anniversary season of Lynchburg Hillcats Baseball.
Bottom of the first inning, Tyson Harden will be the pitcher for the Mudcats. The right-hander will toe the rubber as Lynchburg trails 3-0 here in the early going. Harden donning number 36 on his back on the season. He's making his debut with the Mudcats. He had a great junior campaign at Mississippi State, where he finished 3-3 with a 3.22 ERA, facing off against tough SEC competition as Tommy Hawk, an ACC collegiate athlete, digs in, takes out wide for ball one. Hawk batting .271, a home run, 21 RBIs. The right-hander fires it in tight, two balls, no strikes.
Harden, one of many starting pitching debuts we should be set to see between both the Hillcats and the Mudcats in this series.
Driven right at the shortstop, DeTurri, and there's one away as Hawk barreled it up, but right at DeTurri. As Connor, take us to the defense for the Mudcats.
For the Mudcats, Garcia will be in left, Rodriguez in center, Castillo in right, Baez will patrol the hot corner. DeTurri moves from second to short, where he played last night. He'll be at shortstop today. Guillarte will do the honors at second. Bitonti at first, and Diaz behind the plate.
Francisco up the middle. An off-balance throw by Guillarte will retire him for out number two. Two quick outs here in the first inning as we go through the lineup for the Hillcats.
We saw Tommy Hawk. We've seen Welby and Francisco both going down quite quietly. Luis Marejo will look to change that. Christian Napchik will bat behind him in the fourth spot. Garrett Howe, fifth. Ryan Cesarini will round out the middle. He's on a five-game hit streak, and he'll bat sixth. Barrett Reebok, the DH, will bat seventh. Bennett Thompson, eighth. And Luis Durango, the ever-dangerous nine-hitter in the order for Lynchburg.
Luis Marejo just missed a home run yesterday as he takes down and away for ball one. It was in the first inning. He smoked a foul ball just to the left of the foul pole. As Lynchburg currently finds themselves down 3-0. Upstairs, two balls, no strikes. Harden has now thrown six pitches, only two of them for strikes, and both have resulted in outs. His command a little bit all over the place thus far. The 2-0. Finding the zone there. Two balls and a strike. Harden. 6'2", 185 from Tampa, Florida. 21 years old. Missed with a slider out wide again. 3-1. A good at-bat here by Marejo, recognizing a couple quick outs for the Hillcats. A good hitter's count. Here it comes. Up and in. I think it caught a piece of him, and it did. So hit by pitch. Would have been 4 anyway. But Marejo will reach first the more painful way. It's Christian Knapcik, who was out of the lineup yesterday, and after the impatient at-bats the Hillcats displayed, it's nice to have Christian Knapcik back in the lineup.
Yeah, it really is. Lynchburg, they've drawn the most walks as a team in the Carolina League at 553. Yesterday, Jason, not a single walk for any hitter. And it's just tough for Lynchburg to find a way to score runs when they're missing that key piece of their offensive identity. I love to see the patience from Marejo. Yeah, he got hit by a pitch. That would have been 4. And having Christian Knapcik back in the lineup, as you just alluded to, should help as well.
Knapcik batting .258, 2 home runs, 40 RBIs. He fouls it back to the screen, 1-1. Churio, who was on pace to set the Hillcats post name change record for walks in the season, is out with the wrist injury for the rest of the year. He was voted to have had the best eye at the plate in a Baseball America survey as Knapcik rolls it over towards second. Guillarte again will end the inning. Lynchburg gets one aboard, but they still trail 3-0 as we head to the second here on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
Scientech Systems is your technology partner. Whether it's business class internet, phone and TV, or their world-class IT services, Scientech is here to manage your technology needs so you can focus on what you love to do. Visit Scientech.com for a free quote today.
Celebrate the history of America's pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that shape and change the game and our country. And relive the careers of legends who have earned the greatest honor in sports. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org.
Alongside Connor Young, here's the voice of Lynchburg Hillcats baseball, Jason Prill.
Caden Favors remains on the bump for his second inning of work. Kind of shocking that he made it through that first inning. He faced 8 men and threw about 30 pitches and gave up 3 runs. But Lynchburg will stick with him for another frame. They do have a piggyback today as Yoswar Garcia. Excuse me, not Yoswar. Wrong team. Yogli Garcia will be the piggyback for Favors at some point this afternoon. Yoswar Garcia, he struck out to end the first inning as Blayberg Diaz, the number 9 hole hitter and the catcher, will dig in for the Mudcats.
It's a lot of Garcias to keep track of this series. David Garcia caught for Carolina yesterday, and he's the only player who was in the lineup on Tuesday that isn't part of the starting 9 today. Yoswar Garcia, as you mentioned, then Yogli Garcia, who we're going to see in a little bit, most likely later today.
And then a assistant coach for the Mudcats, Jose Garcia.
There you go.
We got 4 of them scattered across the diamond. It's 1-1 on Diaz. Left-handed Favors. Swung through, 1-2. And we talk a little bit about the name connection of Garcia's. But even more interesting is Cleveland and Milwaukee a while back used to share a Dominican complex.
Huh.
And so it's dwindled out now, the relationships, as that missed upstairs to Diaz, 2-2. But when I first started in 2022, a lot of the Dominican guys for both teams grew up knowing each other and grew up spending all summer practicing, playing against each other as Diaz swings through a ball in the dirt. Third strikeout for Favors. A good at-bat as Yoferi Rodriguez steps back in. And this is all just speculation. But you think about the Churio brothers.
Yeah.
One went to Milwaukee's organization.
Right.
The other went to Cleveland's organization. You have to wonder how much of location and the fact that they were so intertwined at those times, did that come into effect at all in the decision-making?
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to imagine maybe it did. Once again, that's all speculation. But with the Dominican teams being so intertwined for so long, as that's checked in the dirt, when Jackson Churio was signed and was in the Dominican, they would have been interconnected and sharing facilities.
Yeah, I think Milwaukee and Cleveland as organizations have a lot of parallels these days. Both very smart, well-run organizations that aren't exactly in the biggest of markets, but always seem to find a way to be competitive in the Central and either the North, or excuse me, the AL or the NL. And also great minor league programs all the way down the board as well.
If you were to mirror
the
organization across the league, they would be the two most comparable, I would argue. You got your Yankees and Dodgers. They're going to mirror competitively in terms of spending and dominance. The 1-2 chased one in the dirt. Another strikeout for Favors. Thompson will flip on to first. Two down. Four straight strikeouts for Favors. Maybe finding his rhythm a little bit more as Juan Baez digs in. But I agree with you, Connor. There's a lot of similarities in just the way the organizations have been run. I mean, look at losing their manager last season to the Cubs, poaching them, Craig Counsell. And they're still competitive. And then you look at the Guardians losing their manager in Terry Francona. As that's chopped over towards short, Francisca will charge, off-balance flip, and the inning is over. To finish up that thought, Cleveland also losing their manager, and both right near the top of their respective divisions, competing for potentially a deep postseason run. So we'll talk about that as the series goes on, but right now Lynchburg comes to bat, trailing by 3 on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
The YMCA has been serving Lynchburg and the surrounding community for years. With two Central Virginia locations, the YMCA has plenty to offer for kids and adults alike. To join or check out one of the classes, camps, or programs offered by the Y, visit ymcacva.org or stop in at their downtown or Jamerson locations. The YMCA is a proud partner of Lynchburg Hillcats Baseball.
Hey fans, are you looking to disconnect and enjoy a perfect getaway? Well, let me introduce you to Crabtree Falls Campground. With campsites right on the river, four rustic cabins, and bathrooms with hot water, Crabtree Falls Campground is your place to stay this summer. Located just an hour drive from Lynchburg, Crabtree Falls Campground is just a half-mile hike away from the tallest waterfall east of the Mississippi. Visit www.crabtreefallscampground.com or call them at 540-377-2066 to book your stay.
You're listening to Hillcats Baseball on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
Much better second inning for Caden Favors as Lynchburg still trails it 3-0. Tyson Harden, the Mississippi State draftee, collegiate teammates of a current Hillcat, Cam Schalke, who was drafted out of Mississippi State. Harden taken in the 12th round. Schalke, who will probably see sometime in the next few days, taken in the 19th round by the Guardians. Garrett Howe will step in. This is the fun part of the year when teammates become enemies after the draft. Doesn't happen in every instinct or every instance, but it happens more often, and maybe he gets credit for as how down in the count, no balls, two strikes, especially with some of those bigger schools like Mississippi State and the SEC, ACC teams as well. Two-strike pitch misses out wide, 1-2. And even more so, foes become teammates. Yep. Guys all across the Hillcats from the ACC. You think about Christian Napchik, Tommy Hawk. Two guys that were in the ACC for a little bit of time. A 2-2 offering missing downstairs, full count.
It's also interesting to see the type of players you see come from those conferences. Now, they're not always uniform, but you think of Christian Napchik, Tommy Hawk, both ACC guys. Now, there's been a lot of ACC players who kind of break that stereotype. Nick Kurtz for Wake Forest that was drafted by the A's definitely is not exactly the same player as Tommy Hawk, although they did go to the same college as Garrett Howe works a walk. But that's also an interesting thing to keep your eye on. I saw on X the other day a bunch of SEC fans saying that the SEC in baseball is the new AA because of how easily these players that have gone to SEC schools like Dylan Cruz, like Paul Skeens have made the transition to the major league so quickly that they are the new AA, which I kind of rolled my eyes at. But it is true that the level of play at those powerhouse SEC collegiate teams are pretty impressive, and there is a track record of those players adjusting to the minor leagues pretty easily.
That is the most SEC statement that may have ever been uttered. Ryan Cesarini takes a called strike, a delayed steal by Howe, and he's going to beat it out on a one-hop throw by Diaz. So a stolen base for Howe on the season. That's number four. Cesarini down in the count, 0-1, but SEC fans are probably the most cocky of any conference fans out there. And that's coming from somebody who is an obnoxious Big Ten guy in myself. I mean, I grew up in the state of Ohio. I'm a Buckeye through and through. And I will readily admit that Big Ten football fans are a bit obnoxious cheering for ground-and-pound football in snowy weather. But SEC fans, they are a different breed. And that reminds me when the conversation used to be, well, could Alabama beat so-and-so in the NFL? Mm-hmm. No! The answer is no! In 1-1 to Cesarini, it's a hard no. And there's a reason why, even though Dylan Cruz came in so hot, he still started at the single-A level as a balk has been called on Harden. And there have been plenty of guys. I mean, you're looking at us. You can handpick guys from all over the place who have jumped in and succeeded at the next level right away. I mean, who's the guy for the Angels? Is it Neto, the shortstop from Campbell? Cesarini into deep right field. Castillo backpedaling, tracking, racing back. Reaches out, can't make the grab. Scoring from third is Howe. Around second, Cesarini. He'll go in standing with a triple.
How about the burners on Ryan Cesarini? Now, he had some time to run as that ball was lofted. A lot of airtime under it. But we've seen him steal some bases. 3-1 game against Salem, I believe, on Sunday. And he legs out a stand-up triple, I should say, there. As well as plating a run. That's now six straight games with a hit for Ryan Cesarini. He's impressed in his time in Lynchburg.
He's not an SEC guy as Reebok fights that into left field, a base knock. His sixth RBI of the year. And it's a one-run ball game, 3-2. Back-to-back base hits. Still nobody out here in the second inning. But I do want to go back to that conversation as a mound visit takes place by Michael O'Neill. Hey, the guy from Campbell.
Yeah.
He went the year he was drafted, played a couple games at Double-A, and then they moved him straight up to the majors.
Yeah, the Angels have been doing stuff like that lately, very aggressive with their prospects, and he's been great, like you said.
And I think their first-round pick from this past year has already had a major league appearance.
Yeah, I know with Chanuel, I think that was 2 years ago, I think he was drafted and then once again made the big league club in the same year as well. So, yeah, they've been doing that recently with their first-round guys, which is an interesting change to see.
So congratulations, SEC. Every other conference has a guy that's done it too. yes, do you might have you may have a larger conglomerate of talent that does it so quickly. But to call yourself double A is completely neglecting all the other talent across baseball that missed down and away for ball one. I mean, Wake Forest in the ACC alongside Duke and UNC would like to argue that they themselves should be considered double A.
Oh, yeah.
That's deep into left field. Thompson puts a drive into it. Backpedaling is Garcia. Leafs makes the grab at the wall. Back to first goes Reebok. Thompson just a bit underneath of it as it just did not have enough carry. That's the first out of the inning. But, boy, he gave it a little bit of a jolt. Luis Durango steps in, and Mudcats have seen enough. They're going to go to their bullpen. Out comes Nick Stanley. Too much hard contact for Harden, and they'll make a move. We'll be back to meet him. Lynchburg trailing it 3-2 on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
It's your last chance to catch the Lynchburg Hillcats at home this season as they square off against the Carolina Mudcats August 27th through September 1st at Bank of the James Stadium. Join us on Thursday night for College Night as we have special discounts for all of our local college students. In case you were curious, yes, it's still Thirsty Thursday. Then on Friday, we'll celebrate Christmas a few months early with a special Southpaw Snow Globe giveaway. Be sure to say goodbye to baseball for 2024 by getting your tickets today at Lynchburg-Hillcats.com.
You've probably heard the old saying, the best things in life are free. But do you believe it? The Lynchburg Hillcats want to make sure you and your kids do. Sign your kids up for Southpaw's Free Kids Club and experience the best free activity your money can't buy. All Kids Club members receive complimentary tickets to five designated Kids Club games, Virginia 529 Fun Zone passes for the whole season, and exclusive autograph sessions with players. Kids 12 and under can sign up at Lynchburg-Hillcats.com to activate their Kids Club membership today.
You're listening to Hillcats Baseball on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
Brown University being represented here in the second inning as Jack Seppings, 6'1", 190, as listed on his college and professional bio, will make his first appearance as the Brown Bears' number one weekend starter. He made 13 appearances, all of them starts, 53 strikeouts over just under 59 innings. He did issue 29 walks, but he didn't have, as well, three victories. As the right-hander, another fresh face. A lot of changes this time of the year, Mudcats included. Among those impacted, a lot of new pitchers on the roster.
Yeah, for them especially, it seems like the bullpen and the starting arms have been the rotating door, where Lynchburg, it's been more evenly spread throughout the arms and the bats. But Carolina, you know, they had two on in scoring position, and Caden Favors was able to get out of things in the bottom of the first, and that's looming pretty large here at this point of the game, as Lynchburg is able to strike for two in this inning and are building for more. Carolina yesterday, they pulled out the win. Despite leaving 10 base runners on base and going just 1-for-7 as a team with runners in scoring position, that trend has already kind of carried over into today. You got to break that right away if you're the Mudcats. It's hard to win baseball games if you're not hitting with runners in scoring position.
Even not if it's for this series alone, as Durango fights it off foul 1-1. The playoffs are right around the corner.
Yep.
If you're not hitting with runners in scoring position in the postseason, it's an early exit in line for you. So Reebok at first, Durango at the dish. He's batting 281, a solid return from injury over the past week. As that's fought off foul. 1-2. He made his first appearance last Wednesday, a week ago today, against the Red Sox, when he roped a nice little single into right field. Cats could use one here. Reebok got some signs from Jordan Smith. He holds and a snap throw to first. That's going into right field. Reebok can turn and burn. He'll head into second and round there. And he'll keep going. They'll hit the cutoff, the throw in time. And he slid through the bag and he's retired. Reebok hesitated coming around second. And that ended up costing him a chance to go from first to third. So the air puts him at second. And then the aggression guns him down at third.
If you're going to go for three there, you got to be going for three right away.
Yeah, you can't hesitate.
And if not, just take your base at second.
That clears the bases with two down and a 2-2 count on Luis Durango. Missing low, full count. And all of a sudden, the complexion of the inning goes from can Lynchburg tie it up to can they even get another base runner aboard? One out with the runner on to two outs and nobody on base after a base running blunder. Chopper foul. The old adage is you never want to make the last out at third base. I don't think you want to make any out at third base.
Yeah, the second one hurts just as bad. Now, like you said, you got to start a two-out rally rather than having a runner in scoring position with just one out.
Seppings looks and delivers. In and out of the glove as Diaz, a little frustrated with himself. We can close the proverbial notebook on Harden. One and a third, two hits, two runs, they were both earned. One walk, no strikeouts. A 3-2 to Durango. Out of play. We saw the blunder by Marejo in the first inning that opened up a three-run first for the Mudcats. And the blunder by Reebok on the base paths could eliminate a three-run second inning for Lynchburg.
Yeah.
Depending on how this at-bat and rest of the inning go. Payoff offering. Just a bit wide, and Durango gets aboard. A good at-bat for him against Seppings, whose first batter he faces professionally. Draws a walk.
Great at-bat. Especially out of the nine spot where Durango has continued to be slated for Jordan Smith all season long, really. And to have a guy like that who is hitting well at the plate has showcased some on-base potential, although his walk numbers to this point in the season aren't all that standout. But most importantly, he's got some speed, which you might want to use here with two down.
Tommy Hawk at the dish. Durango takes off right away. Hawk into left field. Not very deep. Should be an easy play for Garcia. It is, and the inning is over. So, the base running blunder does cost Lynchburg an opportunity. They still trail it, only by one, though. 3-2 as we head to the third on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
Wondering how to buy tickets to minor league baseball games? Look no further than the Bally Live app. Download Bally Live today and you can buy tickets to your favorite minor league baseball games and watch in person. Can't make it to the ballpark? We got you. Watch every minor league baseball game for free on the Bally Live app all season long. Pick your favorite team, track stats, chat with friends, and earn rewards in the Game Center. Download Bally Live from the app or Play Store today.
It's your last chance to catch the Lynchburg Hillcats at home this season as they square off against the Carolina Mudcats August 27th through September 1st at Bank of the James Stadium. Join us on Thursday night for College Night as we have special discounts for all of our local college students. In case you were curious, yes, it's still Thirsty Thursday. Then on Friday, we'll celebrate Christmas a few months early with a special Southpaw Snow Globe giveaway. Be sure to say goodbye to baseball for 2024 by getting your tickets today at Lynchburg-Hillcats.com.
You're listening to the 30th anniversary season of Lynchburg Hillcats Baseball.
Top third, Caden Favors remains out there for another inning of work. He'll face Eric Patanti, Marco Dingis, and Filippo Dottori. Patanti one for one with the two-run home run early in the ballgame. I got the scoring started for the Mudcats in this Battle of the Cats, the final time these two teams will meet this season. At least in this series, also the final homestand for these two ball clubs, or for Lynchburg, rather. First pitch to Batonti in there for a called strike, 0-1. Lynchburg will hit the road at Fredericksburg next week. And then from there, find out where they go. Back to their respective homes or to a postseason appearance and matchup against these Mudcats. So that missed down and away. 1-1, one strike. A long trek to get to that point. 6 games out. Still baseball to be played. Batonti underneath it. Not very deep. Hawk. Middle of the right center field gap makes the grab for out number one. Dinges. Yeah. Go ahead.
Another towering fly ball from Batonti. That home run he hit felt like it was up in the air for forever. It wasn't a line shot. But if he can get his arms extended with his size, the ball can go a long ways.
Dinges walked and scored in the first inning. A long first inning for Favors. As the left-hander gets him to swing through it for strike one. Favors, after a 30-pitch first inning, sitting at 45 pitches here in the third. A good rebound for the Shocker, or former Shocker, that is. From Midwest City, Oklahoma. The 0-1, right at the shortstop, Francisca. Strong throw on to first, two away. Two up, two down for DeTurri, who singled in his first plate appearance.
Favors reminds me a little bit of Jackson Humphreys. Both left-handed throwers, but right-handed batters. Not that that matters for this, but I think it shows that they've got some athletic experience when it comes to what they did previously. Also, above 6 feet, Favors a little taller, both around 205. But Favors, it's weird to think about this with how long Humphreys has been with the Hillcats, 2 years older than Humphreys. Hmm.
Humphreys drafted right out of high school.
Yeah.
Which is why they're watching his pitch count so closely. As DeTurri takes one right down the pipe, 1-1. Favors, the reason they'll be watching his pitch count is because of how many innings he threw at Wichita State this year. 106. So that bounced and caught the umpire on the mask as Favors spiked it well out in front of home plate. 106.2 innings was the most for a Shocker since 2010 when Jordan Cooper threw 107.1. He also picked up, did Favors, 107 strikeouts in those 106 innings. Breaking ball misses down and away wide.
Jordan Cooper, currently with the Columbus Clippers, looks like. Or at least he played with the Columbus Clippers, that is. He was drafted in 2010 by the Indians at the time. In round 9, picked 270. How about that? No longer with the organization.
The 3-1-2 to DeTurri. Chopper foul. And it does say something. When a team has success drafting from a school, they tend to go back there and dip in the same well. I mean, look at the history of North Carolina Tar Heels that have come through the Cleveland organization. Oregon State, ring a bell for a couple guys. Into right field, Durango racing over. Won't get there, neither will Morejo. I mean, you want to talk about a school that's been double-dipped?
Yeah.
Stephen Kwan, Travis Pizana. Those are two pretty big names, I'd say.
Fredericksburg, I'm blanking on the school now. Maybe you can cover for me. They had like 3 or 4 guys from a smaller school. I want to say they're the Patriots, but I forget what the actual school was. I'll look into it now. But, yeah, there definitely is correlations like that.
I know a couple years ago they had a couple guys from Tennessee. A 3-2 over toward third. Knapchick with a head-high grab and sails it as he rushed the throw. Bounces back toward the field to play. Morejo down to second in time and not placing the tag is how. Everybody was exiting stage left except for the umpire. As out comes Jordan Smith. William Paschal going to get an earful here. as I'm not sure what could have possibly gone wrong there. Other than a missed tag, Jordan Smith taking off his sunglasses as maybe almost a subtle hint of asking if they need to borrow these. Nevertheless, the Turian scoring position after the air. And Luis Castillo will be the batter. His RBI single in the first inning is the difference in the ballgame. And before we can get any further, Jordan Smith makes a U-turn and heads back to the mound. How about that? Jordan Smith getting his steps in as the Hillcats will go to their bullpen. And a tough break for Favors. He could have been out of the inning through three innings. Lynchburg has to go to their pen a little bit before they would have liked to as we step aside on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
Lynchburg Hillcats are ready for a summer of fun with a fresh slate of weekly promotions for you and your family to enjoy. Every Tuesday, get a free ticket to the next Tuesday home game as part of our Two for Tuesday promotion. Wednesday is Weenie Wednesday with hot dog deals each week, and Thursday we'll bring back our traditional Thirsty Thursday with drink specials all night long. On Friday, join us for Freebie Friday for a new giveaway each week. We'll have fireworks every Saturday night, and kids can eat free each Sunday during the season. Get your tickets today at Lynchburg-Hillcats.com.
Are you a fan of fireworks or collecting sports memorabilia? Or maybe instead of the bar, you want to spend your nights at the ballpark. Whatever your passion, the Lynchburg Hillcats have a mini plan package for you. Make sure to secure your tickets for every Thirsty Thursday, Freebie Friday, or fireworks show Saturday with one of our dated mini plans. Craving more baseball? Sign up for our 30-game mini plan. Not sure what games you want to go to? The Hillcats offer undated mini plans as well. For more information and to purchase your 2024 mini plan, visit Lynchburg-Hillcats.com.
You're listening to Hillcats Baseball on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
It's been a busy first couple innings of this ball game. Lynchburg trailing it 3-2 as they turn to their bullpen. Durrett Parra, the new pitcher, the right-hander, 4-2 with a 3.94 ERA. In 32 innings of work, he struck out 27, walked 15. And you may be asking yourself, well, Jason, you said there was a piggyback, and his name was Yogli Garcia. That's not the guy that's out there right now. Well, when there's two down in an inning, and you might only need to face one batter, a guy who's used to starting with a clean slate may not be used to having to come in with a runner on second or with two down in a frame. So you turn to a guy who would come out of your bullpen to step into the gap as his first pitch misses wide to Castillo. It also wouldn't shock me now if Parra goes more than just a third of an inning and maybe stretches into the fourth. A 1-0. That's jolted. Castillo got a hold of it. Deep right field, and that one is foul. Castillo can't believe it. Neither can Stanley. And quite frankly, I understand. Connor, what did you see? You were a little bit closer down that third base line than I was, but that was fair.
It was close. If I was the umpire there, I would have called fair. But it's a tough angle, especially with the way that ball was hooking. But Lynchburg, you'll take it. Absolutely you will. Would have been home run number 18 on the year for Castillo.
Didn't make the same mistake twice. 1-2. Wow. Well, makeup call, maybe?
Yeah.
After the play at second? I mean, even the way Durango tracked that baseball, he wasn't even heading toward the foul pole. He was about 10 feet in the field of play. That's fouled away, 1-2 by Castillo.
There is a bit of sun on that right field wall, right where the foul pole juts out. I don't know if maybe he lost the baseball to a certain degree at the end of its descent. Either way, Durrett Parra sure is thankful.
And every Hillcat is as well. And the fans. The 1-2 offering from Parra. Downstairs in the dirt, 2-2. Very rarely do I get excited for a foul ball, especially by the opposing team. That might be the loudest foul ball I've called in my time here as a Hillcat. The 2-2 from Parra. Dribbler over toward third. Napchik will take his time this time and retire Castillo, ending the frame. Well, it hasn't been pretty, but it's a one-run ball game. 3-2, we head to the bottom of the third inning on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
Lynchburg Hillcats are ready for a summer of fun with a fresh slate of weekly promotions for you and your family to enjoy. Every Tuesday, get a free ticket to the next Tuesday home game as part of our Two for Tuesday promotion. Wednesday is Weenie Wednesday with hot dog deals each week, and Thursday will bring back our traditional Thirsty Thursday with drink specials all night long. On Friday, join us for Freebie Friday for a new giveaway each week. We'll have fireworks every Saturday night, and kids can eat free each Sunday during the season. Get your tickets today at Lynchburg-Hillcats.com.
This summer, we're going from minor league baseball to major fun. Whether you're just stopping by or looking for that grand slam getaway, Wyndham rewards everyone. Start earning points on your next qualified by Wyndham hotel stay and redeem them for minor league baseball tickets and experiences all summer long. Not a Wyndham rewards member? Join for free at WyndhamRewards.com. Restrictions apply. Visit WyndhamRewards.com for more details.
Alongside Connor Young, here's the voice of Lynchburg Hillcats baseball, Jason Prill.
Well, it's still a one-run game for now. The fair foul decision by Robert Bonet favoring Lynchburg as Francisca Morejo and Napchik. The 3-2 up in the third inning. Lynchburg down 3-2. Connor, we talked about that home run or lack thereof in between innings. And
yeah,
you said it even live on the broadcast. You probably would have called that one fair. Where I'm sitting, I was looking beyond the right field wall, and just based upon the angles of what my eyes can behold, to me it looked like it wrapped inside the foul pole. Francisca tops it up the first baseline. It'll roll foul.
Maybe he did and I just missed it, but I'm surprised Bonet didn't talk about it with Pascal at all, just to get just a second thought.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Just to say, hey, I know it's my call, but did you get a better look at it? Because I don't think he did. Maybe he did. Maybe he's very confident.
It's a very good point, as we'll have to get a new baseball for Seppings. Typically, you see the umpires communicate a little bit on questionable decisions by one umpire, especially in that sort of situation. In the dirt downstairs, one ball, one strike.
Do have a Fred Nat update. Dallas Baptist University.
Yeah, that's what
And they had like three players from that school.
And I think they were almost all pitchers.
Yeah. Bubba Hall was one of them.
Yep. Different draft years, but all from DBU. And talk about a mid-major powerhouse. You want to talk about a double A? And that's a double A pitching staff at Dallas Baptist. I will use every opportunity I can to take a shot at the SEC. A 2-1 to Francisca. Fouling out of play left field. But even I must relinquish the fact that the SEC, good baseball conference. Now, they're not alone. I mean, even the Big 12. The only Power 5 baseball conference that's not really competitive is the Big 10. That's downstairs, full count. I know Ohio State thinks that they can possibly turn the corner with their new managerial hire from Campbell. That's the payoff offering. Francisco over toward first, knocked down by Batonti. He'll underhand flip to the pitcher. Beats him to the bag for out number one. But really, there's nobody in the Big Ten that year in and year out you can point to as a threat.
Yeah. Just spitballing. Do you think the weather might have anything to do with it?
Oh, absolutely.
Where players just, like, don't want to play there.
I mean, you got to play the first month of your season on the road down south anyways.
Mm-hmm.
First pitch to Marejo. Missing out wide 1-0. I mean, I remember, and this is a much smaller level, but when Canisius played at Liberty, they were talking about how that was their first opportunity to be outside and play baseball.
Yeah, the first baseball game I ever called was Bryant at Liberty, another school that really you wouldn't see Liberty play all that often, but they were just looking for teams to get on the schedule with early in the year because that was like the first series of the season.
Big swing and a miss, 1-2. And so the question, and it's a very fair question, if you want to play baseball, would you rather play it where it's 60-plus degrees all year long? Or would you rather play maybe in your home state where you can only be outside in the month of April?
And you're on the road for the first quarter, three quarters of the season?
Yeah. Up until conference play, really. 2-2. Got him. Two down here in the third. And it's why the only area that has the argument against that is the Pac-12. They've been able to kind of avoid that with the likes of Oregon, with Oregon State. They've been able to produce a baseball powerhouse year in and year out. Washington's been competitive here and there. Washington State's got a decent program at times.
UCLA's been good.
UCLA? I mean, they're in California. You think about that Northwest.
Yeah.
And Oregon State's the one that competes for titles every year. We've already talked about them on this broadcast. Christian Napchik takes just off the edge, 1-1. Yeah, I really do think the weather plays a big factor into why the SEC and the ACC are so competitive. Down and away, calling a strike, 1-2. And even more so, if you look even deeper into it, at the ACC level, the northernmost teams, not nearly as talented as the southernmost teams.
Yep.
Napchik in the left field, Garcia ranging over, reaches up, makes the grab. And the inning is over, and Napchik from Louisville, not saying he's not talented, but Louisville not known as a baseball powerhouse. Connor, you'll be with us for the next couple innings as we head to the fourth. Lynchburg still trails at 3-2 on the Lynchburg Hillcamps Radio Network.
There is a weekend in July where the baseball world revolves around a village in upstate New York. Hall of Fame Induction Weekend in Cooperstown is an unforgettable experience full of family-friendly activities and memorable moments. Make your plans today for July 19th through the 22nd for the induction of Adrian Beltre, Todd Helton, Jim Leland, and Joe Maurer, the class of 2024. Visit baseballhall.org today for the entire schedule. See you in Cooperstown.
You've probably heard the old saying, the best things in life are free. But do you believe it? The Lynchburg Hillcats want to make sure you and your kids do. Sign your kids up for Southpaw's Free Kids Club and experience the best free activity your money can't buy. All Kids Club members receive complimentary tickets to 5 designated Kids Club games, Virginia 529 Fun Zone passes for the whole season, and exclusive autograph sessions with players. Kids 12 and under can sign up at Lynchburg-Hillcats.com to activate their Kids Club membership today.
It's time for a quick check of the Carolina League scoreboard. Back inside Bank of the James Stadium, here's Jason Prill.
It's scoreboard watching season. Best time for the out-of-town scoreboard segment of the broadcast. We'll start with Fredericksburg and Kannapolis. 3-1 lead for the Cannonballers in the top of the fourth. Now, don't get too excited, Hillcats fans. Kannapolis was leading big late in that ball game yesterday, and the Frednats still found a way to come back and take the win, as they have so often here in the second half. Myrtle Beach, they lead 2-0 over Down East in the third. Delmarva and Salem in the second. Same with Augusta and Columbia and Charleston and Fayetteville. 2-0 Myrtle Beach lead. 2-0 Salem lead. No score for Columbia and Augusta or Fayetteville in Charleston quite yet. Here in Lynchburg, 3-2 as we head to the top of the fourth. Daniel Guillarte will lead off the inning, and Durrett Parra is still out there. No Yogely Garcia sighting quite yet But you would think he's warming in that Lynchburg bullpen as we speak. 0-1 count to Guillarte. And he'll flare one into shallow right field. Looping fly ball. Luis Durango under it for the first out of the inning.
Parra came on for Favors about midway through that third inning. So we can close the book on him. He went 2 2/3. 4 hits, 3 runs. 1 walk and 4 strikeouts. And he really rebounded after a rough first inning. And looked solid for innings 2 and 3. Apart from the air that kept the inning going in the third.
Yosuar Garcia went down on strikes in the first, and that was a run of 4 consecutive strikeouts for Favors, which was the bright spot in his first start at the Carolina League level. That run of 4 batters, certainly the best we've seen from Caden Favors in a Hillcat uniform. The 1-1 to Garcia is swung on and missed. Blew it by him at 94. Durett Parra can bring the heat. The fastball is electric. The 1-2 is in the hole on the left side of the infield between Napchick and Francisca. It'll be a single for Garcia as he racks up another hit.
And that's the risk of throwing hard, is it comes off the bat hard without a guy having to swing out of his shoes. Wasn't hit very deep, and it just found the gap between Napchick and Francisca, but it came off the bat so hard that neither of them even had a play to make a motion toward it.
It's hit number 94 for Garcia in just 98 games played. He'll take off. Thompson's throw down to Howe is late. When you got speed like Garcia does, a single can turn into a double right away.
How about having a guy like Garcia in your 8-hole? How often do you see a guy who's batting nearly 290 hitting the 8-hole?
Yeah. Bounce to Howe at second. His throw will retire Diaz. It will move Garcia to third 90 feet away, but with 2 outs, not too threatening for Durett Parra. I mean, anything that falls for a base hit, you would think Garcia is going to find a way to score from at second anyways, as the order will flip around.
See if Parra can keep this a one-run ball game. And the Hillcats back up, bottom of the fourth inning. Hillcats scoring early, something they haven't been able to do much this year, or at least recently.
0 for 2 days so far for Yoferi Rodriguez. He took a 2 for 5 with 2 RBIs from the leadoff spot on Tuesday. Just 18 years of age. Slider from Parra. Backs up Rodriguez but catches the inside part of the plate. The 6th prospect as far as rankings are considered in the Milwaukee Brewers system is Yoferi Rodriguez. He's been good this season at the Carolina League level, especially when you consider, as I just mentioned, the fact that he's still a teenager and will be for a while. The 2-1 from Durett Parra. Another good slider. Tight, late break. And Rodriguez, all he can do is swat at it, make contact to foul it off, and live another day. 2s all across the board. 3-2 lead for Carolina. 2 balls, 2 strikes, 2 down. And Parra flirts with the outside part of the plate. This time running it up at 96. Just misses. Borderline pitch for Parra.
That's a good pitch and a good layoff by Rodriguez. That's nothing you can do with it. But that's tantalizingly close.
Count is run full. And Parra puts down Rodriguez. His first strikeout of the ball game. And it strands, yet again, another runner in scoring position for Carolina. 3-2, the scoreline sticks. Cats will grab the bats, head to the bottom of the fourth, and we will too on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
Hey, Hillcats fans. Has your big bank just closed its doors? Come on over to Bank of the James. We make banking better in just 3 easy steps. First, stop by Bank of the James to open your account. Second, bring your current checking statement so we can help you with recurring transactions. And third, enjoy banking the way it should be. Why Bank of the James? We're your strong, local bank, and we're committed to you. Putting community first for 24 years. Come on over to Bank of the James.
Are you a fan of fireworks or collecting sports memorabilia? Or maybe instead of the bar, you want to spend your nights at the ballpark. Whatever your passion, the Lynchburg Hillcats have a mini plan package for you. Make sure to secure your tickets for every Thirsty Thursday, Freebie Friday, or fireworks show Saturday with one of our dated mini plans. Craving more baseball? Sign up for our 30-game mini plan. Not sure what games you want to go to? The Hillcats offer undated mini plans as well. For more information and to purchase your 2024 mini plan, visit Lynchburg-Hillcats.com.
Back inside Bank of the James Stadium for the middle innings, here's Connor Young.
One inning and two-thirds, one walk, one strikeout for Seppings in his first Carolina League appearance. On the other end, Morris Austin has made more appearance than anyone on the Carolina League roster, or on the Carolina Mudcats roster, I should say. 33 games coming into today. This will be his 34th, which is the ninth most in the league. His nine wins are second in the Carolina League, and that's out of the bullpen, mind you. He has been a workhorse out of the pen. You can expect to see him go for several innings. Usually it's around two or three, but one-run ball game, middle innings, that is Morris Austin time in Zebulon, North Carolina, and now in Lynchburg. Morris Austin, two innings, three hits, two runs, one earned against Augusta in his last outing. He did pick up the loss, struck out three and walked two against the Green Jackets. On the season, 9-5 record, 4.26 ERA. Garrett Howe goes down quickly. Three pitches, three strikes as the second baseman goes down swinging to start off the fourth. Ryan Cesarini will stroll to the dish. Tripled in the bottom of the second to bring home Garrett Howe. Plate the first run of the ball game for the Hillcats. Cesarini now with five extra base hits. His hit streak is up to six games and climbing after today. And his average sits at .348, on base percentage over .430, and his slugging percentage well over .600. In the small sample size we've seen from him here in Lynchburg. The 0-2 spit on by Cesarini as it misses far outside. I mean, we've continued to gush about these new Hillcat hitters like Luis Morejo, Welbein Francisca, Ryan Cesarini, but for good reason. They've looked like the best on the club. The 1-2 is once again left by Cesarini, this time low, as the count will even up. Barrett Reebok, a guy we don't talk about as much, but he's got an RBI single already in this ball game. He's on the on-deck circle. As Cesarini fights one off on the inside part of the plate, it's playable in foul territory for Baez. He loses his cap but makes the play. Two down for Barrett Reebok. Strikeout to start off the inning, and then weak contact issued by Morris Austin. With the base hit, Reebok's average grows even closer to the Mendoza line, currently at 193. Does have a home run. He hit it here in the Bank of the James Stadium. DHing here tonight. All he's got to worry about is his work at the dish. Reebok had a .381 on base percentage in the Arizona Complex League compared to an average of .234. fitting into that Cleveland prototype of being a scrappy ball player who finds a way to get on any way he can. However, here in Lynchburg, we haven't seen the walks at that high degree. He's got 11 strikeouts, which is a far higher pace than he was setting in the complex league, to just 3 walks. Now, obviously, the single-A level is a bit tougher than what you're used to seeing in the complex league, but you would still expect to see that disciplined approach translate. We haven't quite seen it yet. We have seen the pop, which we weren't expecting. 2-1 count. The righty reliever loops a curveball in and is deposited into shallow right field and into the glove of Castillo. 1-2-3 go down the Hillcats as they've gone down in order in back-to-back innings. 3-2 the score line. Carolina Mudcats out in front as we head to the fifth.
The Virginia Commonwealth Games are back this summer in Lynchburg, Virginia, on the campus of Liberty University. Be a part of the tailgate party and opening ceremonies kickoff celebration. For more information, visit commonwealthgames.org.
Tonight's broadcast is directed and produced by Virch. Virch elevates your broadcast by supplementing your production staff with experienced switchers and operators. The graphics you're seeing on our broadcast tonight are powered by Virch's all-new graphics engine, offering advanced stats and personalized graphics on a budget. Visit www.virch.co to give your fans the next-gen viewing experience.
You're listening to Hillcats Baseball on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
Yoeli Garcia will make his way into the ballgame for Lynchburg. Tough day to be a pitcher. None of them that we've seen so far for either club have had long stays in this ballgame. This will be Lynchburg's third arm they will extend. And for Carolina, they've also used 3. Garcia should eat up a decent chunk of time here in the middle innings for the Hillcats, at least if things go right. For Garcia, he's been used in a starting role, but it hasn't exactly been a seamless transition for Garcia. He's got an 0-2 record, 10.47 ERA. 5 games on the season, 4 of them have been starts. 19 strikeouts to 9 walks and 5 hit batters through just 16 and a third innings. Opposing hitters are batting .372 against Garcia, almost .400. His last outing was against Salem. He went 1 inning and 2/3, gave up 3 earned runs on 3 hits and 4 walks to 3 strikeouts. It's been tough sledding for the righty, looking to turn the corner here against Carolina at the end of August. 1-1 count to Juan Baez, who is 1-for-2. Singled in the first, grounded out to short in the second. Durrett Parra did his job out of the bullpen, bridging the gap between Favors and now Garcia. Parra, 1 inning and 1/3, 1 hit, 1 strikeout. That's it. He's been a welcome addition to the Hillcats roster. He came to the team just about halfway through the year, maybe a little bit before that. Juan Baez flared into right field, just off the infield. Morejo makes the two-handed grab for the first out of the inning. It'll bring up the biggest reason for the scoreline we find ourselves at, 3-2 Carolina. Eric Bitonti, 2-run homer in the top of the first. Off Caden Favors. Broke a 0-for-8 hitless streak for Bitonti. The 1-0 left outside by the first baseman. Bitonti has quite the presence on the diamond, and it shows in his tools as well. Got the raw power and pretty athletic for his size, as he'll once again go to right field, this time on a line. And luckily for Garcia, into the glove of Durango for out number 2. We have seen Betonti move over to third base in the Arizona Complex League, but he's played first base for Carolina pretty much since the call-up. In high school, he played shortstop, which is pretty impressive based on his lanky, gangly 6'4 frame. Marco Dingis walked in the first, grounded out in the third. He offers. No need to go down to Pascal. Robert Bonet can make the call himself as Dingis clearly went around. And Garcia has looked phenomenal this inning. 11 pitches, 7 of them for strikes. He looked dialed in to a level we haven't seen, at least here at home, from Garcia. This could be trending up the middle. It will get past the shortstop, Francisca, as Dingis will extend the inning. His first base hit of the ball game. Filippo Dettori has reached in both his plate appearances, once via the single, the other on an error from Christian Napjic at third. Uncharacteristic to see Napjic have troubles in the field, although he hasn't played third base all that much this year. Lynchburg as a team, one of the worst fielding teams in the Carolina League. 960 fielding percentage is the second worst in the league this season. And you look at their stats as a team compared to Carolina, their offense throughout the year clearly has been superior. Not that Carolina's offense has been bad. They've been top three in just about every category, but Lynchburg is either one or two. But the areas where they haven't been as good as Carolina, and Carolina is very well-rounded, is the pitching and defense. Carolina's pitching hasn't been phenomenal. They've been a little bit better than the middle of the pack, where Lynchburg has been near the bottom of the middle. And then the fielding for Lynchburg just has been subpar all season long, where Carolina is one of the more sure-handed teams you're going to find. Both clubs today have committed one error. Garcia gets the sign from Thompson. 2-0 count, 2 down. We'll have to wait for his 2-0 offering as he'll check in on Dingis, who leads off first. On the year, Dingis, he's only played in 6 games and has yet to rack up a stolen base. Could be on the hunt for his first, and he is. Won't have a chance as Dettori will spoil a good pitch from Garcia. Lofts it up. And it will land just in the first row. Happy day for a lucky fan. They'll get a souvenir. 2-1 count, Garcia cruised through the 2 and 3 hitters in the Carolina order. Juan Baez and Eric Betante. Dingis gave him some trouble. Dettori is looking to do the same. Fastball elevated, and Dettori obliges, can't keep up, even if he was able to make contact. It was going to be tough to do much with that pitch. It was up at his bill. The pitch swung on and missed. Thompson will take his time on the throw to Marejo, and Yogli Garcia is out of things. Almost 1-2-3. Dingis makes things interesting in the middle. But the 3-2 scoreline has stayed put since the second inning. Lynchburg wants to change that as we head toward the bottom of the fifth.
Lynchburg Regional Airport is going strong. For many years now, Lynchburg's low fares have been among the most competitive in the area, and our conveniently scheduled flights offer easy connections on American Airlines through Charlotte to over 170 nonstop destinations worldwide. So, check the great round-trip airfares currently being offered by visiting flylyh.com today and click Book Now. Prices are subject to change without notice, and certain restrictions apply.
Advance purchase is required and availability is limited. We're ready when you're ready. Check Lynchburg first.
We get it. Finding activities for groups can be difficult. The Lynchburg Hillcats want to make your life easier with our special group outings packages. No matter your group, spend the night out at the ballpark enjoying baseball with your favorite people. All group ticket packages come with discounted tickets, a PA and video board welcome, and the possibility for first pitches and on-field activities. Want to make the night extra special? Sign up for a group picnic and let the Hillcats take care of the details. For more information on groups or picnics, visit Lynchburg-Hillcats.com.
Back inside Bank of the James Stadium for the middle innings, here's Connor Young.
Thompson, Durango, and Hawk, 8-9, and then top of the order due up for Lynchburg here in the bottom of the fifth. Jason, last inning I talked a little bit about how Lynchburg, despite their offense being just about top of the league, has not found that same consistent success Carolina has for a slew of reasons, mainly on the bump and in the field. Another big reason that we got to talk about, and this has been true all season long, but in one-run games this year, and we saw it firsthand last night, Lynchburg is 13-26. Now, that mark is marring. And for Lynchburg, if you can't be competitive in close games, it's really tough to be able to keep pace with a team like Fredericksburg or Carolina.
And how many games have they had to come from behind to try and win ball games? They score late. We talked about it last night. They bring the tying run to the dish late in the ball game, and those are the games that end in one-run losses when you're trying to play from behind. And it seems to happen four out of the six times that the team takes the field every series, and that's tough to do. And it's attributable to that record. Yes, you're going to win a few here and there, but if you're playing from behind all the time, late into the ball game, and trying to make these late-game comebacks, takes a toll.
Center field, moving back is Rodriguez, and he will make a phenomenal grab. Crashing into the wall. Shows it to the umpires that, hey, I've got this in hand, and he does hold on through the contact. That's the second time now Thompson has driven one deep to the outer reaches of the Bank of the James Stadium just to go back to the dugout empty-handed.
I was going
to
say the exact same thing. He's given two balls good rides, but neither one has been able to find any sort of dirt. A little bit too lofted, allowing guys to get underneath. That was a tough play for Rodriguez. Don't get that lost in the mix of this. He had to hustle just to get to that ball and crash into the wall after making the grab, which makes it difficult to hold on to. So great play by Rodriguez in center.
Luis Durango reached on a walk in his first plate appearance and only plate appearance to this point. He's on a six-game hit streak. He's looking to move to seven games. During the streak, he is 6-for-18 with a .333 average, three RBIs, and five stolen bases. That streak goes back to before his injury as well. But he's picked up right where he left off.
Imagine the numbers Durango would have put up had he been healthy the whole season. The way he's been hitting and his approach to the plate out of that nine hole has been impressive, to say the least.
Yeah, there's been a long stretch of Jose Pastrano occupying that part of the lineup. We just weren't getting that same production. Tapped right off the plate. It'll go over the shoulder of home plate umpire Robert Bonet. Count will stick at 1-2. And for Hillcats fans, going back to our previous topic, Jason, you know, that one-run record might be surprising because of how many miraculous one-run walk-off wins they've been treated to here at the Bank of the James Stadium. The 1-2 pitch is lifted out of play on the left side. But it's just because Lynchburg has given themselves so many chances to mount comebacks due to them always playing from behind, especially in the middle innings. They work to the seventh, and then here come the Cats. But when you give yourself so many chances, sure, you might have some fun highlight wins, but you're putting yourself on the back foot.
And this team is still nine games above .500 overall in the season, which the numbers... Oh,
that's the last thing you want to see for Luis Durango. I mean, he feels like the unluckiest player on the roster at this point. I'm not sure if that got a piece of him.
I don't think so. I think it just missed. He took his helmet off to catch his breath. That was close. That came in at 95. But to go back to what I was saying, Connor, the numbers of this season don't really make much sense.
No.
The pitching has not been up to par for what Cleveland typically expects.
Yeah.
It's been the hitting that has far outpaced everything else, and in the past it's been pitching and defense. The defense has been lacking. And you had guys like Angel Hanat. We had how many top 30 prospects come through Lynchburg this year? I think I counted at one point over a third of those listed on the top 30 right now came through Lynchburg this season.
There's been 9 different current or former top 30 prospects on the roster this season, which is incredible. Bounce to the right side of the infield. Nice play by Batonte, the first baseman. The flip to the pitcher is in time. And Morris Austin will rocket it over to the second baseman to start the throw around the horn. Luis Durango will have to wait a little bit longer to increase that hit streak.
And continuing with what we were talking about, to see this team have to play from behind so often is just what's so mind-boggling about this team is they have all the talent in the world to outscore. And yet they wait until late in the ballgame to put runs on the board. Tonight, we don't know what they're going to do in the later innings, but they only put 2 up through the first almost full 5 innings of work, and they still trail.
They've had a winning record in every month but July, and they were just 10-12 in that month. And there was a spurt in July where Ralphie Velasquez wasn't hitting at all. Jason Chirio was struggling. He was finding his hits here and there. They had just lost Angel, and now we're trying to fill that void. And the pitching staff was depleted. Roark Moultrude was moving up to high A, and some other veteran starters who looked like they were head and shoulders above the Carolina League, to be honest. They didn't last long on the roster, so there was a lot of turbulence as far as the roster is concerned around that time. But besides that, they've had at least a winning record in every month. April, just barely at 11-10 due to their slow start, but they turned it around in a hurry.
When you look at the players that have been called up, Connor, which loss for the Hillcats do you think has been most impactful?
Yeah, I think I'll give you 2. On the offensive side of the ball, I'd say Angel Hanau. If we had him all season long, I don't even know what that would have been. He would have looked like Aaron Judge at the moment. He was phenomenal.
Judge against little leaguers.
As Tommy Aqua watched one high. On the mound, I'm honestly going to say, you know, the obvious one that a lot of people will come to mind is Matt Wilkinson. We didn't have him for very long. I'm going to say Roark Moultrude. I think he was really underrated during his time here. He was really, really good for Lynchburg, especially once he moved to the starting role. Sky high in the infield. Tommy Hawk will run it out, but it won't matter. Yes, it will. And it's foul ball out of the glove of Morris Austin, so gets the run down the line for Hawk. Won't be consequential, but he will have a second chance nonetheless.
Happened to Lynchburg in the first, happening to the Mudcats here in the fifth, but with 2 down and 2 strikes on Tommy Hawk, the pressure is a little bit more on Lynchburg still. But those were going to be the exact 2 names that I said, Connor. Angel Hanau, his leadership all across the field was tremendous, both at the plate, his ability to communicate with the pitching staff and control and dominate the infield. Lynchburg was at their best when he was at short.
Yep.
And pitching-wise, Matt Wilkinson may have been the best pitcher we saw this year. But he was only here for a month and a half, 2 months maybe.
Yeah.
Roark Moultrude was here for a while, and every time he went out, he was solid. It was a quality start pretty much every time he started.
Yep.
And you don't get to say that very often at any level of the game of baseball. But granted, he was 24. He was a couple years above what is the typical age for the Carolina League, but that loss left a big gap in the pitching staff that they've still yet to fill.
Very true. 2-2 count here to Tommy Hawk, who's had a battle of an at-bat. He's looking to start the 2-out rally, and he's well on his way. 95-mile-an-hour fastball upstairs from Morris Austin. He's looking to close out his second inning of work. But Tommy Hawk's making sure he gets his money's worth. 30 pitches now spent by the righty reliever. The 3-2 pitch. Checked. But Tommy Hawk is rung up. goes down looking as the Hillcats go down 1-2-3 for the third straight inning. We've played five. We go to the sixth, 3-2. Carolina out on top.
If you're looking for a home, auto, or life insurance plan, look no further. State Farm has been offering great coverage at surprisingly low rates for over 100 years. Stop in and see one of the four Central Virginia insurance agents. For Lynchburg, call Chip Harvey. For Rustburg, contact Jack Dean. For Appomattox, call Sarah Saunders. And for Madison Heights, visit Kim Z. Gardner. Contact your local State Farm agents today.
It's your last chance to catch the Lynchburg Hillcats at home this season as they square off against the Carolina Mudcats August 27th through September 1st at Bank of the James Stadium. Join us on Thursday night for College Night as we have special discounts for all of our local college students. In case you were curious, yes, it's still Thirsty Thursday. Then on Friday, we'll celebrate Christmas a few months early with a special Southpaw Snow Globe giveaway. Be sure to say goodbye to baseball for 2024 by getting your tickets today at Lynchburg-Hillcats.com.
Hillcats baseball is in full swing. It's time for a quick game recap on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network. Here's Jason Prill.
Through five, 3-2, Carolina. Lead it here in game two as we take a look at the game recap. For Carolina, all of the damage came in the top of the first where they scored three. Lynchburg, you could say the same in the bottom of the second. Their two runs came in that same frame. Besides that, it's been all zeros littered across the score column as the pitching in this series has really had the advantage over the batters, which is not what you would expect coming into the series. Favors, he went 2 2/3, 4 hits, 3 earned runs, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts, and a home run surrendered to Batanti in his first start at the Carolina League level. Parra, he won an inning and a third in Garcia. He's gone for an inning and is still working. For Carolina, they've got 6 hits as a club. Lynchburg only with 2 as the bats continue to need to be woken up for Lynchburg in the middle innings. They have at least hung a crooked number to this point, which is more than they were able to boast about yesterday. But it still feels like there is a lot more work to be done for Lynchburg. 3-0 count for Luis Castillo, 3 straight balls for Garcia. He's coming off a fantastic inning in the fifth, one of his strongest showings as a Hillcat. However, the sixth is not off to such a strong start. Castillo is swinging on the 3-0 count, and he blisters one into center field. Tommy Hawk makes the grab on the track as Garcia, you got to feel like he got bailed out a little bit there on a couple different counts. One, you love it when a guy's 3-0 swinging. And also, that ball was hit hard and just barely missed extra bases.
You're right. Garcia dodged a bullet. Kind of shocked to see Castillo swinging 3-0, but he also thinks he had a home run robbed from him in his last at-bat. So maybe trying to recoup that by timing it up a little bit better, knowing you're probably going to get a fastball, something over the heart of the plate. In a one-run game, swinging 3-0 as the team in front doesn't necessarily seem like the play in my mind, but Castillo almost picked up a base hit.
Plugged into shallow left field for Daniel Guilarte. And that's a single. Second base hit. Yogli Garcia has allowed to this point. It'll bring up Yoswar Garcia. He was 1-for-2 with a strikeout and a single. Jason, I'm curious your thoughts on some Guardians news we got recently. Nate Furman, the player to be named in that Alex Cobb trade. That also included Jacob Bresnahan, who was a Hillcat for just a short amount of time. You have a lot more knowledge of Furman as both a player and a person than I do, but everything I've seen from him, especially as far as who he is as a person in the clubhouse or even just his dealing with the media, has been glowing. So what was your first impression when you saw that he was going to be that player sent to San Francisco?
I thought it was a huge loss for the Guardians organization and a huge gain for the Giants, because that's a guy that has manager written all over him. And I'm not going to speak coaching career over a guy. That's just not fair, because typically when you say that, it means, well, they don't really have the talent, but they have the IQ to play the game. That's not necessarily the case.
Right.
I mean, the Giants wouldn't have picked him as the player to be named later if he didn't have talent. Nobody's trading for a minor league coach one day. So they think he clearly has the talent, which he does, but he combines that.
As Garcia gets Garcia swinging.
He combines that with an IQ and a leadership ability that far exceeds most of his peers, if not all of his peers. One of the things that really stuck out to me when he was with Lynchburg is whenever a new pitcher would enter into the ball game, he would walk out of the dugout, squat down, and just watch. Even if he wasn't the next one up, he would watch, and then he'd go back in and start communicating what he saw to the guys that were coming up next to him in the lineup. When he was out for the day, he was standing right next to Jordan Smith on his perch in the dugout. And that's something that he carried with him the rest of his time with the Guardians organization. And that's something that changes clubhouses.
Taking off is Guillarte as he will nab a base.
And so losing Furman, that's a huge blow. And he's got the talent. I think he's going to go far. I expect him to make a major league debut someday. But I also expect him to get into coaching one day. And Cleveland loves to keep good guys around. So that one really hurts in terms of losing a leader like that.
The 2-0 pitch misses as once again a Mudcat works a 3-0 count against Garcia in this frame. The Alex Cobb trade so far for the Guardians, which is who that trade was aimed to benefit, the Major League club, hasn't been all that fruitful in losing Nate Furman and Jacob Bresnahan, who we didn't see a lot of here in Lynchburg, but what I did see, I was pretty impressed with for the youngster. San Francisco, that could be a trade that Giants fans look pretty fondly on in a couple of years' time. You know, it's always tough to tell with these things.
It's all just a grab bag. You're looking in blindly to try to figure out what's going to work, what's not going to work.
The 3-0, not competitive. One of the easiest walks Diaz will work in his professional career, as it will now be runners on first and second for the top of the order. Yoferi Rodriguez has been held hitless, two strikeouts as well on his ledger. He had two RBIs yesterday, and he could be looking to do the same and change the complexion of this game in a hurry with two down. First walk issued by Yogely Garcia. And it's now five straight balls for the right-hander.
He seems to be losing command with his off-speed stuff. And sliders running well inside on all these left-handed hitters.
When you don't have an overpowering fastball, that is a problem. Don't want to get too one-dimensional. Fisted to second, Garrett Howe charges in, makes the overhand toss to Marejo, and it won't matter. Yogely Garcia pulls his best vanishing act and gets out unscathed. Still 3-2. Carolina has been clawing on to this 1-0 advantage. Lynchburg, they're on the hunt to tie this ball game up. Bottom six coming up next on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
The Virginia Commonwealth Games are back this summer in Lynchburg, Virginia, on the campus of Liberty University. Be a part of the tailgate party and opening ceremonies kickoff celebration. For more information, visit CommonwealthGames.org.
The Lynchburg Hillcats are ready for a summer of fun with a fresh slate of weekly promotions for you and your family to enjoy. Every Tuesday, get a free ticket to the next Tuesday home game as part of our 2 for Tuesday promotion. Wednesday is Weenie Wednesday with hot dog deals each week, and Thursday we'll bring back our traditional Thirsty Thursday with drink specials all night long. On Friday, join us for Freebie Friday for a new giveaway each week. We'll have fireworks every Saturday night, and kids can eat free each Sunday during the season. Get your tickets today at Lynchburg-Hillcats.com.
Back inside Bank of the James Stadium for the middle innings, here's Connor Young.
Well, Dean Francisca will lead off the sixth frame for Lynchburg. 0-2. Heading into his third plate appearance of the ball game, Francisco took a 1-for-4 with an RBI on Tuesday. and is looking to extend his on-base streak, which is currently up to 15 straight games coming into today. Really, since he arrived in Lynchburg, he's been an on-base machine. He just made his 20th start yesterday, so in at least 15 of those 20, he's been able to get aboard one way or another. And during that streak, he holds an average of .383, one home run, 10 RBIs, 10 walks, and 5 stolen bases. Playing good defense at shortstop as well, Jason. I mean, well-being Francisca checking a lot of boxes for Guardians fans, and you would have to thank the Guardians organization.
You talked about how there's a big jump between Arizona and Lynchburg, but Francisca's making the jump look rather simple.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just fool's gold and beginner's luck at this level, but he's been able to sustain it and continue to improve night in and night out. And I've been really impressed with his defensive approach. He's solidified that shortstop position that, quite frankly, was a mess for about a month and a half.
And to make it go full circle, based on our conversation last half inning, he's another middle infielder in this Guardian system that has been all thumbs up. The reviews are good for well-being Francisca. And you ask, well, why are you willing to part ways with Nate Furman? And we'll get to that in a second, as this is punched to right field and fielded by Castillo for out number one. The on-base streak, I should say, for Francisca is still in jeopardy. My point, why would you be willing to get rid of a player, or trade a player, I should say, like Nate Furman, based on all these qualities he brings to the locker room and on the field as well? Well, it's just a really bloated middle infield in the Guardians organization. We've seen that firsthand with Francisca, Angel, and now we saw Rafael Ramirez Jr., another middle infielder, get dealt at the trade deadline. And there's so many other names you could talk about up the ladder. So at that point, it's kind of an embarrassment of riches, and you might as well use those chips to cash in on pieces at the deadline when you're having a good season like Cleveland finds themselves in 2024. Marejo pops it up right side. It'll get out of play.
It's a blessing, Connor, to have all that talent in the middle infield.
Yeah.
And it goes not just in the lower levels. It goes from top down. I mean, Ryan Rocchio is starting to turn the corner, and you have guys at the AAA level, AA, high A, single A, Arizona, who are still contributing. The Dominican has more middle infielders that are going to contribute.
Soft contact once again from Austin as Marejo will pop out on the infield quickly. Two down for Lynchburg as their middle inning drought seems to continue. Christian Napchik, their last hope before we move to the seventh. I could list so many middle infield guys in this Cleveland system. A lot of them well-known, some of them not as much. Alex Mooney having a fantastic year at Lake County. Khalil Watson, an under-the-radar prospect that they got last year at the deadline from Miami in the Josh Bell trade, who's in Akron, having a really good season, showing some on-base skills, fielding ability, and pop. He played in the outfield at times as well. Line to center, and that'll do it. Lynchburg, 1-2-3, the formula, and no matter the arm for Carolina, Lynchburg hasn't been able to put the pieces together offensively. We'll move to the seventh. Jason Pribble will guide us the rest of the way through. 3-2 through six. Carolina Mudcats on top.
Check out Creative Edge Design Incorporated for your signs, banners, and wrap services. We are a 3M certified graphics installation company backed by a 3M warranty, protecting your graphics against any cracking, fading, or peeling for over 10 years. Your graphics will continue to look exactly like they did on the day they were installed. Visit us at cedi.biz for more information. Creative Edge Designs, custom designs for you.
Hey fans, are you looking to disconnect and enjoy a perfect getaway? Well, let me introduce you to Crabtree Falls Campground. With campsites right on the river, 4 rustic cabins, and bathrooms with hot water, Crabtree Falls Campground is your place to stay this summer. Located just an hour drive from Lynchburg, Crabtree Falls Campground is just a half-mile hike away from the tallest waterfall east of the Mississippi. Visit www.crabtreefallscampground.com or call them at 540-377-2066 to book your stay.
Alongside Connor Young, here's the voice of Lynchburg Hillcats baseball, Jason Prill.
Welcome
Top seven, 3-2 our score. Carolina Mudcats in front. Yoegly Garcia back out for his third inning of work. He's looked pretty solid since entering in the fifth inning. Connor Young was talking earlier about how Dylan Cruz and Paul Skeens making their trek up from the SEC, as we have a special guest joining the broadcast today. Southpaw has arrived. And Southpaw, what are you doing?
Hey, Southpaw. Hungry?
Southpaw.
What?
As Juan Baez swings through it for strike one. Southpaw, you're dressed like a Star Wars character tonight. Halloween night at the ballpark, I assume?
Nice. Didn't know rain was in the forecast, Jason.
Yeah, we're starting to see some light drizzle of popcorn find our way. And Southpaw, you got to get it in your mouth if you're going to be tossing it. Try harder. Here, let me do it. I caught it. 2-1 on Juan Baez. And this has got to be. Let me put this in your mouth. Oh, it doesn't help if it's sealed off.
Are
Southpaw.
Those teeth just for show? Yeah.
You all bark or no bite, or all meow no bite. Southpaw, the Hillcats mascot, joining us in the press box here in the top of the seventh inning. I'm a little leery about what he's doing with all this popcorn. It's all over the floor now. You know, they say have pets to clean it up, but something tells me Southpaw, he's here to make a mess, not necessarily clean up the mess he's created. Maybe we need to find one of the dogs that are allowed in the ballpark for a dollar donation. Southpaw's starting to panic. He's cleaning up now. I just heard a dog bark. Out in front, a little dribbler by Baez, hopped on by Thompson, delivers the strike. What a play by Thompson.
Thanks.
It was so nice of Southpaw to give you a little gift. Yeah, Scooby is right there. Are you scared, Southpaw? Just a little bit, okay. Just a little bit. If it wasn't for you and meddling kids. A 2-3 put out by Thompson. Eric Patanti stepping in now. Patanti, the two-run home run in the first inning. It was the later RBI single by Luis Castillo that's the difference in where we're at thus far. 3-2 our score. As that pitch misses high and wide, two balls, no strike. Southpaw, what are your thoughts so far? Up and down, a little iffy. More down than up right now. Yeah, coming off of a loss yesterday. Trailing 3-2 late in the ball game. As Patanti skies that into center field. Tommy Hawk will make the grab. And Southpaw enjoys it.
He's liking that.
Southpaw, don't you have the seventh inning stretch to get for? You got to... Oh, there you go. Shaking our hands. Put her there. Didn't know the paws could shake hands so much like a... Like an actual handshake.
Opposable thumbs on Southpaw. Very good.
See you later, Southpaw. Thanks for joining us. I'll expect you with the broom later to clean up all the popcorn. Two down here in the top of the seventh inning as Marco Dinges. What just happened?
I don't know. All I know is I got a mix of rocks and popcorn on my desk.
There hasn't been a cleaning crew in this box since the start of the season. And so Southpaw has necessitated a vacuum of this press box. Two-strike pitch to Dinges, missing high, one ball, two strike. You know, the worst part is I had my food sitting on the floor back here. He just knocked it all over the place. There's napkins. Everywhere now.
I think that handshake necessitated a shower after the game from me.
A little bit sweaty?
Yeah.
Didn't know cats could sweat. Maybe he's just been licking his paws
that's
a little bit.
That's probably it. So he's really clean. That's all it is.
Yeah. Is a cat's tongue cleaner than a... What's the saying about dog's tongues?
I don't know.
I think they say that a dog's tongue is cleaner than like a toilet seat or something like that. I don't know if it's the same for Southpaw, though. Though he does get a bath every night. Very diligently bathed is Southpaw. Payoff pitch to Dinges. Ball four as Dinges draws the walk. I'm still a little terrified that he's going to come back in and dump more of the popcorn on us.
Yeah.
You know, that's cat-like behavior. Just the nagging annoyance.
You a dog person yourself?
Yeah, I'd give myself more of a dog person. I grew up with dogs. You a cat guy or a dog guy?
I'm a nothing guy.
Really? That's a hot take.
I don't know. I just find them all annoying, to be honest.
Well, Southpaw was definitely annoying.
Definitely won't want Southpaw in my house.
Could you imagine trying to walk Southpaw? That's like Clifford.
Yeah.
Like a giant green Clifford.
Some people have dogs just about his size.
And they do. Thankfully not green. You hear the dog?
I do hear it.
That was perfect timing.
It was.
Threatening Southpaw by getting a dog and a dog starts barking. He's a paid actor, folks. The dog, not Southpaw. That misses out wide, one ball, one strike. Southpaw, he's not a part of a labor union, so he gets fed.
Popcorn, kitty, looks
popcorn
like.
Popcorn and kitty nibble.
Is it
a catnip? Garcia delivers the 1-1, driven to center field. Hawk will track it, racing back, and the inning is over. It's time for the seventh inning stretch. Lynchburg trails by 1-3-2 here on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network. We're going to go find a broom.
Scientech Systems is your technology partner. Whether it's business class internet, phone and TV, or their world-class IT services, Scientech is here to manage your technology needs so you can focus on what you love to do. Visit Scientech.com for a free quote today.
This summer, we're going from minor league baseball to major fun. Whether you're just stopping by or looking for that grand slam getaway, Wyndham rewards everyone. Start earning points on your next qualified by Wyndham hotel stay and redeem them for minor league baseball tickets and experiences all summer long. Not a Wyndham rewards member? Join for free at WyndhamRewards.com. Restrictions apply. Visit WyndhamRewards.com for more details.
You're listening to the 30th anniversary season of Lynchburg Hillcats Baseball.
New pitcher on the bump for the Mudcats. Jesus Broca will be the new arm. As Morris Austin, his day is complete. Broca on the season. 1-0, making his fifth appearance with a 5.84 ERA in just under eight innings, seven strikeouts, four walks. So very limited action for Broca. And he comes into a pretty tight ball game, 3-2 here at Bank of the James Stadium. Howe, Cesarini, and Reebok, the 3-2 up. The part of the order in the second inning that did all the damage for Lynchburg. No Cats hoping they can have that replicated in the seventh to try and tie things up. Nobody scored since the second. After a torrid start to the ball game, things have really cooled down. A left-hander fires a strike in there, 0-1. Broca, 5'9", 183 from Mexico. He was signed as an undrafted free agent just last year, July 15th, 2023, already at the single-A level. Missing down and away, one ball, one strike to Howe. Howe walked and scored in the second, struck out in the fourth. Those were his two plate appearances. Lynchburg still only with two hits tonight. Another frustrating day at the dish. Whereas Carolina, seven hits thus far. Each team with an error. Ground ball, third base side, just foul. Howe tried to go over the bag. Robert Bonet said it just drifted foul. Those are tough for the home plate umpire. He's got to get out from behind the catcher and get on the line quickly. The 0-2. Howe had a good pitch to rip a breaking ball that settled middle in. He spoiled it back to the screen. Dark skies over Lynchburg. The two-strike offering. That's deep into right center field. Castillo ranging over. Heading toward the track. Reaches up. One down. Ryan Cesarini will step in. Cesarini tripled and scored. It's Connor Young doing the due diligence to clean up all the rocks and popcorn left behind by Southpaw. Connor, I think of the two of us, you got the worst of that interaction with Southpaw.
Yeah, I was doing well, and then got a little bit of a rock slash popcorn combo pile over on my side of the booth here, so just tidying up a bit.
And for those who can't see inside the booth, which is everyone tuning in, that's not stale popcorn he's talking about. There were rocks.
Yeah.
Mixed in with the popcorn.
Not sure where he got the rocks. That's my only concern.
Yeah, how did he scoop those up off the floor, if they were even from the floor? In there for a strike to Cesarini, 0-2. You just never know what's going to happen at the ballpark.
It's very true.
A two-strike offering. Little roller right at the second baseman, Guillarte, two down. Barrett Reebok with the last hope for Lynchburg in the bottom of the seventh inning. Still down by 1-3-2. So we've hit 8:30, 2 hours of game time thus far.
Garrett Howe was flying out, and I was doing my housekeeping, Jason. I thought Lynchburg really has been hitting the ball well in the air. It just has been a little lofted, so they're getting just under it. And there's been nice plays out in the outfield for Carolina.
You think about Bennett Thompson.
Right.
He's had two that have been crushed.
And for Lynchburg, when they're playing a contact and they're not really getting too many hits, it's usually rollover. Rollover on the right side of the infield with all the lefties they have. That hasn't been the case today, but they just haven't been falling.
It'd be interesting to see what the expected batting average would be for this ball game, because it seems like it would be higher than what it's currently at. Ground ball toward third, and just foul again.
Like that. I mean, there's been two of those in this inning where it's an inch or two away from a base hit, and just Carolina keeps getting the breaks in that regard. But also, you've got to give them credit. The defense has been good for them all season long, in the infield, in the outfield, and we're seeing that right now. And at this level, sometimes the defense can be all of the difference.
The 1-2 from Broca. Hit hard into center field. Rodriguez will leap, make the running grab. And right on cue, Connor. Hard contact that ends in a glove. We head to the eighth. Lynchburg trails it by one on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
The YMCA has been serving Lynchburg and the surrounding community for years. With two Central Virginia locations, the YMCA has plenty to offer for kids and adults alike. To join or check out one of the classes, camps, or programs offered by the Y, visit ymcacva.org or stop in at their downtown or Jamerson locations. The YMCA is a proud partner of Lynchburg Hillcats Baseball.
Are you a fan of fireworks or collecting sports memorabilia? Or maybe instead of the bar, you want to spend your nights at the ballpark. Whatever your passion, the Lynchburg Hillcats have a mini plan package for you. Make sure to secure your tickets for every Thirsty Thursday, Freebie Friday, or fireworks show Saturday with one of our dated mini plans. Craving more baseball? Sign up for our 30-game mini plan. Not sure what games you want to go to? The Hillcats offer undated mini plans as well. For more information and to purchase your 2024 mini plan, visit Lynchburg-Hillcats.com.
Alongside Connor Young, here's the voice of Lynchburg Hillcats baseball, Jason Prill.
Yogli Garcia out for the eighth inning once again as Lynchburg still trails at 3-2. Connor, after the first two innings of this ball game, it really felt like it was going to be a boat race.
Yep.
But we've actually had the exact opposite, a pitcher's duel.
Yeah, absolutely. Three in the first and then two in the bottom of the second. That's it. That's been all the offense Not to mention, Lynchburg hasn't really even had too much as far as base runners are concerned, apart from that one frame. Yoeli Garcia, though, if we're going to have a pitching duel, it's good to see him get in on the action. He hasn't been a part of those too often in his Lynchburg tenure. He's been one of the few bright spots for the Hillcats today. By far the best we've seen from him on the mound as far as results go, but also just, and there you go.
Line to right field, goodbye. Castillo gets his home run. Right on cue, Connor.
Just shut my mic off.
The announcer's jinx strikes again.
Just absolutely pummeled.
A no doubter.
One of the longest ones we've seen.
Just a pure missile. After Connor spent a minute praising Yoeli Garcia for how he's been able to limit all of that. 4-2 our score. We're not laughing at Garcia or anything like that. We're just laughing at the unfortunate situation that Connor now finds himself in.
Should be an unearned run. That should be mine.
He'll eat it.
I'll talk to the scorer.
And I'll let you explain that to Tony Arnold later. 0-1 on Guillarte as he takes up and in, one ball, one strike. It's amazing. I mean, with football season right around the corner, everyone talks about the announcer's jinx with the kickers. And he hasn't missed an extra point in 3 years. Well, then he misses the extra point.
Yep.
Sometimes it transfers over to baseball. And, Connor, you seem to be the recipient of that time and time again. In tight, three balls, one strike. Well, Castillo, in his defense, he had one potentially robbed from him earlier in the ballgame. As Guillarte swinging out of his shoes, full count. And so he probably felt like he was due for his 18th home run of the season. And he found it. A two-hit night for him. And now it's a two-run deficit. And in a game like this, that feels like a mountain. The payoff offering. Slider up and in. Didn't break all the way around. And a walk to Guillarte will bring up Yoeli Garcia.
Third walk issued by Garcia. The Yoeli variety. And that's one thing that he struggled with this season. And he has been able to work around at least so far today. But you don't want to start having that pop up at this point in the ballgame.
Garcia thinks about squaring around but pulls back for ball one. Yoeli Garcia, in his fourth inning of work, has surrendered only one run, the solo shot to Castillo. Throw over toward first, and it gets away from Marejo. And that'll allow the runner to get down to second on the errant throw by Yoeli. And things beginning to unravel and slip away from Lynchburg here in the eighth inning. Not what the doctor ordered at this point in time, in a game that really felt like a must win. Fredericksburg, though, is losing 5-1, but time is of the essence in making a run toward the postseason. High and tight, two balls, no strikes. And if I'm Tony Arnold or even Bennett Thompson, you'd have to be thinking about going out and having a conversation just to calm down Garcia. That home run seems to have rattled him. Garcia drops one down, a beauty. Garcia will just have to eat it. Runners at the corners, nobody out. Beautiful bunt by Yoeli. Down to third goes Guillarte. And Blayberg Diaz at the dish. That's another hit for Yoeli Garcia.
Tough guy to double up as well, very fast. Diaz, not as quick, which is the more important of the two as far as the base runners are concerned in double play situation.
Runner takes off the throw down. A fake by Thompson. It's a stolen base for Garcia. As now the infield will be pulled in a two-run ball game. Everybody on the edge of the grass. Diaz 0 for 2. Watches one down and away. One ball, one strike. Golden opportunity for a big inning for Carolina. They've struggled with runners in scoring position all series long. They've left eight stranded today. 2 for 8 with runners in scoring position. And one of those was the RBI single by Luis Castillo in the first inning. They've been rather limited. This game, a base hit away from getting out of hand. 1-1. High, shallow center, Hawk charging in. Tagging from third and holding is Guillarte as Hawk made a strong throw home. One down. That's a huge first out. And a great job by Hawk to keep Guillarte 90 feet away.
Absolutely was. But for Guillarte and third base coach manager Nick Stanley, also a good decision not to go there. As fast as Guillarte is and as bad as you want that run, wasn't quite deep enough. And Tommy Hawk certainly would have had him as long as Thompson's tag was on target.
First pitch, a breaking ball to Yoferi Rodriguez in there for a called strike. He's 0 for 4. Rodriguez, base hit, could score two with all the speed that's out there. He chops it toward first. Foul ball. It was a leadoff home run here in the eighth by Luis Castillo. That has played a significant impact in this ballgame. The two-strike pitch, though, to Rodriguez. Here it comes. Got him to chase. What a pitch by Garcia. Rodriguez went fishing in the dirt. And there's two away. Third strikeout of Rodriguez tonight. And the fourth for Garcia.
And Carolina isn't a team that strikes out all that often.
Correction, the third for Garcia. Baez pops it up, first base side, should be playable. Morejo, he makes the grab. Well, a solo home run makes it a two-run deficit. But Yoeli Garcia dodges the worst. He keeps it a two-run ball game, 4-2 on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
Wondering how to buy tickets to minor league baseball games? Look no further than the Bally Live app. Download Bally Live today and you can buy tickets to your favorite minor league baseball games and watch in person. Can't make it to the ballpark? We got you. Watch every minor league baseball game for free on the Bally Live app all season long. Pick your favorite team, track stats, chat with friends, and earn rewards in the game center. Download Bally Live from the app or Play Store today.
We get it. Finding activities for groups can be difficult. The Lynchburg Hillcats want to make your life easier with our special group outings packages. No matter your group, spend the night out at the ballpark enjoying baseball with your favorite people. All group ticket packages come with discounted tickets, a PA and video board welcome, and the possibility for first pitches and on-field activities. Want to make the night extra special? Sign up for a group picnic and let the Hillcats take care of the details. For more information on groups or picnics, visit Lynchburg-Hillcats.com.
You're listening to Hillcats Baseball on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
What a job by Garcia to get out of that eighth inning. That could have unraveled in a hurry and made it nearly impossible for Lynchburg to have any sort of shot in the final two innings. But instead, it's a two-run ball game. Thompson, Durango, and Hawk all due up here in this frame. And it's not a momentum swing to get out of that jam.
Yeah.
But it's a life preserver.
Yeah, no, it was huge. And not to mention, I was going to say this last inning, but I purposefully didn't. Only to make sure I didn't jinx him.
Appreciate it,
Connor. But what I was going to say, and will say now, is it also saves the bullpen. To get as much as you did from him in that middle inning, through the middle innings, into the late innings, it's going to help the bullpen out for the rest of the series, which could very well be super important depending on how this game finishes, how that series in Fredericksburg goes, and the same can be said for several teams in the North Division. So it's a great outing for Yogi Garcia, his best as a Hillcat.
1-0 to Thompson. He fights it off behind him 1-1. His professional career has been off to a slow start, but he's had good exit velos today.
Yeah, and he hit well at Oregon. He held a batting average of .286 for the Ducks this past college season. He's a good hitter. I think it's just a slow start for Thompson.
In tight, two balls and a strike. He feels like he's just missing them.
Yep.
I mean, both were driven to the warning track, one to left field and the other to center field. 2-1 offering. Breaking ball wraps around the corner by Broca. 2-2. And then when you're just missing it, you start to press to try to really crush one. That might be what Thompson's trying to do. This time he tops it. He's swinging a high fastball in the outside corner. Broca fields it cleanly, flips on to first, one away. Probably would have been ball three had he laid off. Luis Durango will dig in. And to your point, Connor, about preserving the bullpen, when you have a piggyback slated for a game, you want to keep it right around three pitchers in that night.
Yeah.
Because a piggyback, that combination should get you through eight. A bunt by Durango, but a little bit too hard and too foul for strike one. And then you can go to maybe one final arm for the final inning or two. Sometimes you can even get just two pitchers in a piggyback game. Well, Caden Favors was ran in the third inning. Durrett Parra gave you an inning and a third, and then Yogi Garcia came on. And with the struggles he's had, we didn't expect him to go four innings.
Yeah, definitely not.
There is an arm loosening in the Hillcats bullpen, but to potentially only have him go out there for one inning allows him to be used probably later in the series.
And it's just about impossible for us to tell who that is. But if Lynchburg is able to make something happen, even score one here, I would love to see it be Renny Artiles. He has been so good in the ninth inning for Lynchburg lately.
Well, it's 1-2 on Durango, so it's going to be tough to convince Renny Artiles that the Hillcats have his back at this point. 1-2 as Durango, a little dribbler over toward first and just foul, much to the benefit of Durango.
This is the second straight game we've seen Durango square around for a bunt base hit. And once again, in the first pitch in this at-bat, just too hard and foul down the line. You said it last night, but if Durango could add some finesse to that part of his game, this is a guy who's 20 years old as well. So there's some learning to be done in multiple different facets of the game, that being one of them. But it's good to remember, a guy like Durango, he's been here a while. Seems like he might be one of those 22, 23-year-old guys. He's only 20 years old.
This is his third season, or part of a third season in Lynchburg, as he fouls that away at the dish. His speed is his greatest weapon.
Yep.
And his bat started to turn the corner this year. He's looking to finally make it up to Lake County next year.
Mm-hmm.
But with the speed that he has and the strides he's taken at the plate, he's a guy, reminds me a lot of Billy Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
Just a lot of speed, can play some defense as he swings through it. We're out number two. Just doesn't have any pop in his bat. Tommy Hawk with two down, looking to extend his on-base streak. And 0 for 3 nights so far. He struck out looking to end the fifth. First pitch swinging, fouled back to the screen. First strike, one. Broca Rocks, kicks, delivers. A breaking ball right at the top of the zone, strike two. Morris Austin went three innings, no hits, no runs, two walks, no strikeouts. Broca trying to carry the baton. He gets Hawk to swing through it. We head to the ninth, Lynchburg trailing by two. Right here on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
If you haven't planned that vacation yet, start by checking Lynchburg Regional Airport. With our great round-trip airfares to many popular destinations, flying from Lynchburg is easy and affordable. Offering daily departures on American Airlines to Charlotte with connections to over 170 nonstop destinations worldwide. To check airfares and book tickets, visit flylyh.com today and click Book Now. Prices are subject to change without notice, and certain restrictions apply. Advance purchase is required and availability is limited. Your close and convenient connection. Check Lynchburg first.
It's your last chance to catch the Lynchburg Hillcats at home this season as they square off against the Carolina Mudcats August 27th through September 1st at Bank of the James Stadium. Join us on Thursday night for College Night as we have special discounts for all of our local college students. In case you were curious, yes, it's still Thirsty Thursday. Then on Friday, we'll celebrate Christmas a few months early with a special Southpaw Snow Globe giveaway. Be sure to say goodbye to baseball for 2024 by getting your tickets today at Lynchburg-Hillcats.com.
Alongside Connor Young, here's the voice of Lynchburg Hillcats baseball, Jason Prill.
Renny Artiles. Connor, you called it. Will toe the rubber for Lynchburg in the ninth. 4-3 record for the right-hander, a 3.51 ERA. He's now 5-for-6 in save opportunities, which this is not one, but his late-game performances, Connor, have really turned around.
Yeah, he's on a 13-inning scoreless streak. Over those 13 innings, here are his stats. Just 5 hits. He has walked 7, which is a little more you'd like. But he struck out 18, and he now leads, like you said, all active Hillcats and saves with 5 on the year. You could make the argument, and this is a little bit hot, but he might be Lynchburg's best player since the second half has turned over. Because since then, he has been almost unhittable. I mean, he has not allowed a run in all of August, and through July, he had an ERA under 3 in the twos. He's been phenomenal out of the bullpen for Lynchburg. If there's a guy who's earned himself a call-up, it's Renny Artiles.
I was waiting for another announcer's jinx there, Connor, as that's fouled away for strike one to Eric Patonti. Patonti, a 2-run home run in the first inning, that looms large right now as the Mudcats lead it 4-2 in this battle of the Cats. The 0-1 missing high and wide. 1 ball, 1 strike. Patonti has flown out twice and lined out once as well. He's given rides every time he's been to the plate. Breaking ball misses wide. 2 balls and a strike. And it's pretty crazy, Connor, that a guy like Artiles, who has struggled with command issues,
right,
his entire career with Lynchburg has turned into a reliable bullpen arm.
Two and two.
And that's why you don't give up on guys when they struggle. Because 2 years ago, they sent him down to Arizona. Last year, they sent him down to Arizona. And you wonder, how many more chances is he going to get? Well, he's showing why he's worth the wait over the last 13 innings plus of baseball. 2-2 on Patonti. Artiles rocks, kicks, fires. Breaking ball in tight. Patonti laid off. Full count.
And when he's at his best, he's relying on that fastball a lot with good command of it as well. It's deceptive. It's got good speed, but better run.
Payoff pitch in the dirt. Well, there's the walk. We mentioned those are still a part of his game, and it's a leadoff walk in the ninth. He's issued now 32 walks on the season to 58 strikeouts. Marco Dingis. A 1-for-2 night. 2 walks as well, a run scored. And a pitch clock violation called on Dinges. He didn't get set in time. 0-1. Tartiles starts in front. Tomte takes his lead over at first. The 0-1. Check swing. They appeal. He did not go. 1-1. Artiles, a very emotional pitcher on the mound. That's found back to the screen, 1-1. A lot of swagger, I think, is the word that can be used for Artiles. Just the way he struts around the mound, the way he pumps himself up, the way he reacts after getting a guy out. There's just a lot of swagger in his game. The 1-2, down and away, two balls, two strikes. And that's something that was missing from his game the last two seasons. There was no swagger. It was a struggle.
Yeah.
Just to build up any sort of confidence in his arm and in his abilities. The 2-2 to Dinges. As that's out of play again. Right now, he's struggling. 10 pitches, four strikes. Two and two. Good job by Dinges just to get a piece of that one. He had to extend his zone well into the left-handed hitter's batter's box.
Yeah, these last two pitches from Artiles have been executed beautifully. Fastball on the outside part of the plate that Dinges was way behind. He was looking for something off-speed. Was just barely able to foul it off, and he does the same on the curve there.
The 2-2 offering. Full count. Artiles on the verge of losing him again after he started out ahead in the count.
Yeah, you really don't want to walk two to lead off the inning, so I think you got to come at him with a fastball. Dinges is probably expecting it.
Here's the pitch. He did challenge him with a fastball. Dinges was ready for it, but it ran up and in on him. And there was no way he was touching it, one away, as Dottori try to not be deterred against Artiles. Sorry, that was poor. Not my best one-liner, Connor.
I liked it.
I appreciate that. Late in the season, they don't get as good. Carolina, the best record out of anybody in the Carolina League. As Dottori takes a called strike, 0-1. They won the first half. 2.5 back in the second half. With a win today and a Fredericksburg loss, they would sit 1.5 back. So if scores hold, that's where they will be. The 0-1. Out of play, 0-2. Lynchburg, 9 games above 500. 1 game above 500 in the second half. 27-26. The 0-2, 1-2. With Fredericksburg losing right now, boy, getting a game back tonight would be huge for Lynchburg, but
you need it.
It just seems like Lynchburg doesn't have much in their tank right now. Slider misses out wide, 2-2, didn't get the call.
Not a bad pitch. Backdoor slider.
Dottori just able to lay off on a pitch more tempting than a piece of chocolate. 2-2. Went to the same spot, this time with a fastball, and the count goes full. Bonet shrinking his zone in the ninth inning. The 3-2. Runner holds. Ball four. He lost him. Down to second goes Patanti. From 0-2 to ball four. And that brings up probably the one guy you didn't want to see in this inning, Luis Castillo. He's been seeing the ball well tonight. 2 for 4, a home run, an RBI single, and he just missed one, or a second home run earlier in the ballgame as well. Two aboard, one away. Top of the ninth inning. First pitch misses down and in for ball one. Castillo. The Dominican native. 5'10", 207, 20 years old. Down and in again. Artiles really struggling with his command in this inning as things are beginning to unravel on Lynchburg.
Castillo's not a guy you want to fall behind in the count to. If you get predictable with that fastball, we've already seen what he can do.
Almost to the backstop. Thompson did a great job of keeping that right near home plate. He did his best lunge. I don't even know how to describe that lunge. He made the play. It's 3-0, though.
Just stabbed at it. We've seen Castillo swing in a 3-0 count already today.
You don't want to leave him a fastball, but you don't want to walk him because that loads the bases. He's swinging away, and it goes foul. 3-1.
So I guess going forward, and this might be something Lynchburg might already know, but for us, Castillo's in a 3-0 count, doesn't matter. You still got to put up a competitive pitch.
Batonte at second, Dottori at first, the 3-1 to Castillo. Where did that miss?
Yeah, he's getting squeezed a bit here.
Three walks in the inning issued by Artiles, and Daniel Guillarte will have to wait a moment as Tony Arnold comes out to the mound to talk to Artiles and Connor. I hate to mention it, but announcer's jinx, part two.
Potential. I trust Artiles. He's got to keep that scoreless inning streak going, but at this point, I mean, the outside part of the plate wasn't there to Garcia at all. Started it off with a backdoor slider with two strikes, didn't get that call. Then he worked fastball to the outside part of the plate, didn't get that either. And now against Castillo, there were some borderline pitches worked in around there as well. I mean, they weren't obvious missed strikes, but certainly the zone isn't all that forgiving for Artiles, and Tony Arnold's aware of it. He was giving Bonet a bit of a piece of his mind on his way back to the dugout. A little bit of a longer conversation with Rennie Artiles and Bennett Thompson, however, it wasn't directed to the pitcher and catcher, more to the umpire at the end.
Tony Arnold, that's his staple, making sure the umpire knows who he is. Base is loaded. One down. Top of the ninth inning, Lynchburg already trailing by two. And Daniel Guillarte with an opportunity to break it open with a base hit. Corners pulled in, middle infield in double play depth. Artiles fires it up and in ball one. Nowhere to put him. Got to go after him. Batonte at third. Dottori at second. Castillo at first. The 1-0. That one finds the zone, 1-1. He's really not missing by a ton,
no.
Is Artiles. You mentioned the corners being pinched. He's been right around the zone. Carolina laying off well, the 1-1. Once again, not sure where it missed, 2-1. Maybe a little bit low, but had the zone. The 2-1. Up and in to the backstop. That'll score one. A wild pitch by Artiles breaks that scoreless inning streak at 13. And the Mudcats go up by three.
Just a frustrating outing for Artiles, and he's not out of the neck of the woods yet.
And now both runners in scoring position. The double play out of the question. The infield pulled in. Guillarte in a hitter's count at 2-1. Here's the pitch. In there for a strike, 2-2. Artiles has it top toward third. Going to be a tough play. Knapchick, his only throw is to first. They get the batter, Guillarte, but into score comes Dettori. Castillo down to third. So Guillarte does his job on the ground out. Yosuar Garcia now with a four-run advantage. They'll try to tack one more on, if not two. 6-2, top of the ninth inning. Mudcats in front. Artiles rocks, kicks, and fires. Almost to the backstop again. And you can tell his arm is getting tired.
Yeah, and you can tell that swagger is turning more into frustration and anger on the mound.
Starting to overthrow that fastball a little bit. 1-1. It's never a good sign when a guy starts to overthrow. Ground ball over towards short. Francisco charges, picks it on a hop, and fires it wide at first. And a race back to the bag. Garcia able to beat him as he made an awkward turn. Into score comes Castillo. And it's a three-run ninth inning, making it a five-run ball game. As the error by Francisca, the third error in the night for the Hillcats, pretty much puts the nail in the coffin in this one, Connor. The error has just exited the building.
Lynchburg, third most errors in the Carolina League, and it's been a problem all season long. Definitely doesn't help out Artiles, who is already gassed.
He's about to hit 35 pitches, and I don't see anybody ready in the bullpen. There is an arm getting loose. The 0-1, breaking ball in there for a strike, 0-2. Typically 35 pitches is the cutoff for a pitcher in one inning. Last thing Lynchburg wants to do, though, after making it to the ninth, is to have to waste another arm.
Someone is warming now in the bullpen.
A two-strike pitch. Out of play by Diaz.
If I'm Artiles, I'm rearing back. Giving him 94, something to hit.
You have a couple pitches to play with. Get him to chase up in the zone. Maybe up above the letters.
Yeah.
The 0-2 offering. He went down and away, and Diaz spoiled it.
Carolina has done a good job against Artiles. They've been laying off the borderline pitches that have gone their way. And anything a little bit closer to that, they've been spoiling, like that pitch there. Not a bad pitch. 94 on the corner.
The 0-2 again. And yet again, fouled away. Boy, what an inning for the Mudcats.
Yeah, I mean, you see why they're 72-47 on this season. This is a team that clearly knows how to grind out of bats and win games.
The two-strike pitch once more. Got him to pop it up behind the dish. Thompson tracking it, watching it, securing it, and the inning finally comes to a close. Lynchburg, though, now trails by five. We head to the bottom half of the ninth, 5-tie, 6-win on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
Celebrate the history of America's pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that shape and change the game and our country. And relive the careers of legends who have earned the greatest honor in sports. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org.
It's your last chance to catch the Lynchburg Hillcats at home this season as they square off against the Carolina Mudcats August 27th through September 1st at Bank of the James Stadium.
join us on Thursday night for College Night as we have special discounts for all of our local college students. In case you were curious, yes, it's still Thirsty Thursday. Then on Friday, we'll celebrate Christmas a few months early with a special Southpaw Snow Globe giveaway. Be sure to say goodbye to baseball for 2024 by getting your tickets today at Lynchburg-Hillcats.com.
Alongside Connor Young, here's the voice of Lynchburg Hillcats baseball, Jason Prill.
7-2 Carolina. We head to the bottom half of the ninth inning. An uphill battle as Francisca Morejo and Napchik will be the three due up for Lynchburg to try and spark any sort of late game rally. We've mentioned the Cats like late game action. But this one, when you only have two hits, you have more errors than you have hits tonight.
Oh, my gosh.
That's not a recipe for success. And it just feels like the team, their body language just looks poor tonight.
Yeah.
Knowing that time is running out in their season, you're down by five now after a rough ninth inning. And the book could be closing on the 2024 Hillcats. Throw over from third. Good pick by Batanti. One down here in the ninth as Francisca swings away at the first pitch. Luis Morejo will step in. So Francisca, his on-base streak will come to a close as well. Luis Morejo, he was hit by a pitch in the first inning. That's it. Lynchburg has only had five base runners tonight. That missed for ball one. And get this, Connor. They have not had a base runner since the second inning.
Wow.
That'll change here with a base knock. The announcer jinx works positively for Lynchburg as Morejo ropes one down the third baseline. Breaking the string of 19 batters.
Oh, got to get your calculator out for that one.
I know. My mental math isn't as good as it used to be. Christian Napchik will dig in. 19 in a row set down by Mudcats pitchers up until that one. Napchik into left, hooking away from Garcia, and that'll land out of play.
The swing from Morejo, definitely the best we've seen so far today. And it's interesting, you know, Lynchburg, three hits now after their base hit from Morejo. Just a handful of base runners. But at the same time, and I don't want to discount Carolina, but it doesn't feel like the pitching for them has been dominant today. And maybe that's because of the loud contact that just hasn't fallen in favor of Lynchburg. But it seems like this game was right there for the taking all the way up until the ninth. And who knows, Lynchburg could threaten here and make things interesting.
They always tend to do it. Napchik evens the count 1-1. Napchik hitless tonight. Missing well outside. Diaz thought about throwing back behind Morejo. That seems to be a common sentiment with Morejo.
Yeah.
With an extended lead. He's very comfortable taking a few extra steps on that secondary. The 2-1. Right back to the screen. Napchik had a pitch to his liking, but was underneath it. Broca came on to start the seventh. He's looking for the three-inning save. The 2-2. Napchik flares it into left field. It'll hang up long enough for Garcia. Two away. In steps Garen Howell. 0-for-2, a walk and a run scored in the second, but that's it. Only three hits tonight. Morejo, Cesarini, and Reebok. Lynchburg trailing at 7-2 here in the ninth. As that misses down and away to the backstop it goes. Morejo will take his spot in scoring position. the urge of the children chanting, "Let's go, Hillcats," as the dwindling 1,126-person crowd, hoping for any sort of excitement. And 1-0 to Howe. Calling a strike, 1-1 right on the outside edge. That's a pitch that Artiles was not getting.
I was just about to say, where was that for Artiles?
That's a big difference if Artiles is not getting that call. And Broca is. The 1-1 breaking ball just above the belt. Two balls, one strike. Lynchburg feeling like they were screwed out of an opportunity last night. Late in the ball game, final out to be exact. Howe fouls it away, 2-2. When the ball ricocheted off the glove of Batanti, Dottori backed it up, and Batanti went back to cover the bag. It looked like Cesarini had beat it out, but they called him out. The 2-2 up the middle, not well hit, but it finds center field. Around third and scoring is Marejo. That gets past the center fielder. Howe in the second. He's going to try for three. He'll get the slide sign, and he is safe. That went through three Mudcats. And Howe found his way to third. There's got to be an error in there somewhere.
Yeah. I would think a single. And then
has
two.
To be. Has to be at least a single. But then it did hit off the glove of Dottori.
Yep.
And then under the glove of Rodriguez.
Yeah, I think the error would come in the outfield, not in the infield.
They've granted him a single and an error on the center fielder.
Makes sense.
Ryan Cesarini steps in. He was the guy who was retired to close out yesterday's ball game. They trail by four here in the ninth with two down. Breaking ball in there for a called strike, 0-1. Down and away, one ball, one strike. Broca. Still looking for that final out. Lynchburg may be figuring him out, though. Cesarini underneath it, and they're down to their final strike again.
Broca, 43 pitches he's used now. It's been a long outing out of the bullpen, much like Yogli Garcia was big for Lynchburg in that way. Broca will help out Carolina later in this series.
A 1-2 missing down and away, two balls, two strikes. Excuse me, one ball, two strikes. The scoreboard in the ballpark has it wrong. Nope, two balls, two strikes. Late night, the 2-2. Down and away again, full count.
Carolina has someone warming, and they have for a while.
Have to wonder if maybe this is the last batter for Broca. As he approaches 50 pitches. The payoff offering here in the ninth. Broca delivers. A chopper towards second should be an easy play. Guillarte to Batanti, and that's the ball game. Lynchburg scores one in the ninth. They fall today 7-3, dwindling their playoff chances even more. We'll step aside on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.
Lynchburg Hillcats are ready for a summer of fun with a fresh slate of weekly promotions for you and your family to enjoy. Every Tuesday, get a free ticket to the next Tuesday home game as part of our Two for Tuesday promotion. Wednesday is Weenie Wednesday with hot dog deals each week, and Thursday will bring back our traditional Thirsty Thursday with drink specials all night long. On Friday, join us for Freebie Friday for a new giveaway each week. We'll have fireworks every Saturday night, and kids can eat free each Sunday during the season. Get your tickets today at Lynchburg-Hillcats.com.
It's your last chance to catch the Lynchburg Hillcats at home this season as they square off against the Carolina Mudcats August 27th through September 1st at Bank of the James Stadium. Join us on Thursday night for College Night as we have special discounts for all of our local college students. In case you were curious, yes, it's still Thirsty Thursday. Then on Friday, we'll celebrate Christmas a few months early with a special Southpaw Snow Globe giveaway. Be sure to say goodbye to baseball for 2024 by getting your tickets today at Lynchburg-Hillcats.com.
The final out has been recorded, and it's time for us to recap the ball game. Coming up on the Hillcats postgame show, we'll scan the scores from across the league and give you an update on the Carolina League standings, along with previewing the next game. But first, to cover the box score and name tonight's Hillcat hero, here's Jason Prill.
7-3, our final. Mudcats win again. Win number 73 for Carolina. And 32 in the second half. Lynchburg drops back to 500, 27-27 on the season. Three runs in the first inning for the Mudcats. Three runs in the ninth inning for the Mudcats as they book into their night with crooked numbers. Tossed up a run in the eighth inning to make it 7. And Lynchburg, they just could not come back. Two runs in the second. Ryan Cesarini drove one home with a triple. And Barrett Reebok would score him with a single. Then they'd go quiet up until the ninth when Luis Morejo would rope a single into left. Garrett Howe would drive him home with a single of his own that would result in him getting to third after an error on the center fielder. But too little, too late, as Lynchburg would fall 7-3. Tonight's Hillcat hero, I think we got to give it to Yogley Garcia. Four innings, four hits, one run, three walks, three strikeouts. But he kept the game within striking distance. For a guy who's been struggling on the mound, Garcia, probably the lone bright spot of the night for the Hillcats.
I agree. It was a step in the right direction for Garcia to finally put together his first quality outing for the Hillcats. And like you said, bought him a lot of time in the middle innings where they trailed by just one run, and the offense just couldn't do it. Same story, really, as yesterday. Just never really came around. It felt like they were in the game. It was close. It could be a Hillcat thriller like it has been so many times, and it just wasn't to be as those playoff hopes continue to dwindle, although Fredericksburg did drop their game against Kannapolis today, and we'll go through all the score lines in just a moment in the back half of the postgame show.
10 games to go, 6 games out of first place. The odds of playoffs looking slimmer and slimmer each and every day. The magic number for Fredericksburg continues to drop. As we step aside, Connor Young will take you the rest of the way. Carolina winning tonight 7-3 over Lynchburg. I'm Jason Prill saying good night, God bless, and go Hillcats.
You've probably heard the old saying, the best things in life are free. But do you believe it? The Lynchburg Hillcats want to make sure you and your kids do. Sign your kids up for Southpaw's Free Kids Club and experience the best free activity your money can't buy. All Kids Club members receive complimentary tickets to 5 designated Kids Club games, Virginia 529 Fun Zone passes for the whole season, and exclusive autograph sessions with players. Kids 12 and under can sign up at Lynchburg-Hillcats.com to activate their Kids Club membership today. We get it. Finding activities for groups can be difficult. The Lynchburg Hillcats want to make your life easier with our special group outings packages. No matter your group, spend the night out at the ballpark enjoying baseball with your favorite people. All group ticket packages come with discounted tickets, a PA and video board welcome, and the possibility for first pitches and on-field activities. Want to make the night extra special? Sign up for a group picnic and let the Hillcats take care of the details. For more information on groups or picnics, visit Lynchburg-Hillcats.com.
You're listening to the 30th anniversary season of Lynchburg Hillcats baseball.
7-3, the final was a sucker punch of a loss for Lynchburg as Carolina now leads the series 2-0 in the season series 8-3. Lynchburg still 6 games out of first place with less time with each passing game to eclipse Fredericksburg for the crown in the second half of the North Division. Let's go over the final scores and continuing games throughout the Carolina League. Fredericksburg, Kannapolis, 5-1 win for the Ballers, so at least there's that for Hillcats fans. Not all negatives on this Wednesday evening. Myrtle Beach down east, 3-0 shutout. Final win for the Pelicans. Bottom 8 between Salem and Delmarva. 7-1, the Red Sox putting a hurting on the last place. Shorebirds, Columbia, Augusta, 3-0 shutout for the Fireflies, looking to finish it against Augusta from SRP Park. Fayetteville, Charleston, just in the bottom of the sixth inning, 5-3, and still a long ways to go from Charleston, South Carolina. Let's take a look at the standings as it lies. Now, this will change by the time all the games become final, but as of right now, Fredericksburg 34-22, Carolina 32-23 in second place, just a game and a half from the Frednats atop the North in the Carolina League standing. Salem in third, Lynchburg in fourth, six games out at 27-27, dead even, 500 in the second half. Downey's behind the Cats, Delmarva in the basement. In the South, Charleston has three games of cushion over Columbia as it stands at 32-21. Myrtle Beach in third, 5.5 games out. Fayetteville, 9 games out. Kannapolis, 9.5. And Augusta, the worst record in the second half, 16.5 already out of the first place spot. They have been eliminated from the playoff, just 16-38 from the Green Jackets in the second half. Tomorrow, it'll be Mason Molina and Rafe Schlesinger, a pair of Carolina League debuts. Schlesinger is actually a pretty high draft pick of the Guardians from just this past draft, so it'll be an interesting start, to say the least, for Guardians prospect heads and Hillcats fans alike. Schlesinger was the fourth-round pick of the 2024 MLB draft. He's 21 years old from Holbrook, New York. He is coming off a sophomore season at University of Miami, where he was phenomenal, mainly being used as a reliever. He'll get a start tomorrow for Lynchburg, and Mason Molina will also be making his Mudcat debut, so it's a pair of newbies on Thursday night here in the Hill City. Well, for Jason Prill, I'm Connor Young, saying so long and good night from Lynchburg, Virginia, where the final score for one final time is 7-3, Carolina Mudcats. Thank you for tuning in to the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network, and good night from the Hill City.
Thank you for tuning in to Hillcats Baseball on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network. Make sure to stay up to date on all the Hillcats news and notes by following the team on social media at LYN Hillcats. Fans can purchase tickets at lynchburg-hillcats.com. Be sure to tune in to our next game on the Hillcats Radio Network through our video feed on MILB.TV, MLB.TV, and Bally Live, or on our free audio stream at lynchburg-hillcats.com. Special thanks to the Cleveland Guardians, the Elmore Sports Group, and General Manager Matt Ramstead. For Connor Young and Jason Prill, I'm Staff Announcer Mitch Balla, saying good night from Bank of the James Stadium. This broadcast has been a production of the Lynchburg Hillcats and Minor League Baseball on the Lynchburg Hillcats Radio Network.